Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. Oh, so deep. I'm just going to grab the shirt if you don't mind.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is James Westfall, and my right one is Dr. Kenneth Noisewater. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Well, hello. Pointed to your boobies. We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
All right, welcome to PFW Progress. That was a good open, Kevin.
Good job, Kevin.
You know what made it even better is when Andy's naming his testes. If we could insert like Rashard Mendenhall,
yeah,
as the name.
Yes,
there we go.
That's Mendenhall and Quinn.
I can make that.
You can amend that. Yeah.
So speaking of Quinn,
I used to be champ in that open though.
Yeah,
you were in this one too.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was the other guy.
No, you were champ.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the conquering heroes have returned. Eric and Andy have returned from the combine. First off, really good job.
Thank you.
Oh, better than that.
Excellent job.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, it was awesome in the email.
Yeah.
He sent you an email?
It was
very
true.
Nice. Sent us two. Let me just tell you something. Fred was giddy happy. Every day he would come to my office. You read all the stuff that these guys are doing? All the video that we get up there? All the blogging that they're doing? Yep. Fred was very, very excited.
We even were tweeting at the combine.
Yeah, between the two of you.
We're going to have to talk about that with Andy Hart.
Okay. Between the two of you and Brian Lowe and Patriots Today, I thought it was just unmatched content. I don't think any outlet that was covering the combine came close to what we did.
As Michael Felger would say, that's fact, not opinion.
That's fact, not opinion. So great job, guys. And, of course, with that, you come back with tons of information that we're going to talk about from now until April. So we are loaded up for bear when it comes to the combine and the draft. The show, PFW in Progress, a very special off-season edition. We'll be here until 2 o'clock today. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. Got a lot of emails already in. People look up their combine questions. They want to know about this guy and that guy. But I have one. My question, I tweeted out, Andy answered me. This USC guy, Bradford, I like him. This running back.
I laughed for about 25 minutes when he told me
the
story.
He's 242.
The new Gerhardt for you?
No, he's better than Gerhardt.
Oh, okay.
He ran a sub-4.6. And here's the thing about him. He was used primarily as a running back at USC. Really didn't get to play a lot. But the last game, he started as the feature back, and he had like 220 yards rushing. So I think he's a diamond in the rough. I think he's a guy that was underutilized, you know, because he's a bigger guy. But I think he could do what I hope Gerhardt could do.
Why was he underutilized?
Because at USC, you know, it's a lot of passing. You know, they go for the speedier back.
Reggie Bush, Londale
White.
Which
is
they've
fine.
Had running backs. I didn't get to speak to him because there was just an absolute rush of running backs in a short span. But
right.
My question would be, sometimes we fall in love with these guys at the combine because he's big and fast.
Right.
Why didn't he produce in college?
Well, like I said, that last game, they finally gave him a shot, and he rushed for over 200 yards.
So you think they're just idiots at USC?
That
could be the answer, by the way, Lane Kiffin.
I think that
might be the answer.
I think that might be the
case. But he was
there
for longer than just Lane Kiffin, would be my question.
He wouldn't
if the guy is a freak, which his numbers would tend to lead you towards he's a freak, why didn't he produce?
Your boy Pete Carroll was his coach the rest of his career. Why didn't he do anything?
Bradford wouldn't be the first guy that was underutilized at college and didn't bloom until the pros.
Well,
there's not a ton of those.
They're few and far between.
There are some.
You've got
most of those
you like
guys,
his thighs, I know.
No,
get
most,
over
most
it.
Of the guys
no,
that
I think
don't
well proportioned.
Most of the guys that don't produce a lot, especially running backs, that don't produce a lot in college, and they do in the pros. It's injury related.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
and
Curtis,
I don't know
Curtis
anything
Martin
all
slipped
at all
to the third
about
round because he had the
yeah,
ankle
the ankle
injury.
But he was very productive.
But he was productive before
up to
that.
Before
right.
that,
right? No, I think this guy's a late bloomer.
Okay, you can
I'm
go.
I'm telling you right now, Bradford USC. I'm not saying you pick him until the sixth round, but I think sixth round. I take
him. I don't see how he's better than Gerhardt.
I think one of the
I don't either.
Well, Gerhardt was taken in the third round, right?
No, but you said he's better than Gerhardt.
I think he's going to be better than Gerhardt.
Yeah, I don't see how that you know.
Well, he's faster. I mean, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
But only marginally.
Right. But I don't think he's going to be
Gerhardt
better
run a 4.7?
I marked Gerhardt and
same
he
guy.
Was very productive. I mean, you couldn't argue with his production in college. This guy, you one game and a 40 time and you're ready to marry him.
I just have a feeling about him, Robbie Gould. All right. Web radio, what?
Nothing.
You had a feeling about Robbie Gould?
Yeah, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He did like Robbie
he
Gould.
He liked him in training camp.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
You know, it's a little different with kickers.
Oh, I broke down his kick, the whole thing.
I mean, if he makes him, he makes him. Right?
No, I know, but I mean, a kicker could come out of high school and be good in the NFL. It's just one of those
things.
That's
what I'm saying, but you watch
running
back training
who are
camp,
250
him
pounds and run 4Xs, whatever, they don't usually just come out of nowhere. People
4-6.
Find him.
He comes in and goes, you made a 4.6. I'm like, really? Is he by goes to your nose tackle?
Sub 4.6. I think it was 4.57 is what he wrote. Ran.
You stick with him. We'll stick with the real.
How
prospects.
About this Nevada linebacker? How small
round.
Is that Nevada linebacker?
Well, pretty small. Mock. He's actually
Dante
a D lineman. He was a DN for them.
But how small is he?
He's pretty small.
Like 230.
Yeah, 239, 240.
Like that, yeah.
Forget it.
But I mean, not much smaller than Von Miller, who everybody wants. I mean, they're in the similar build there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the combination of position transition, smaller level school, you know, and ridiculously small.
And live off his 40.
Right.
He's the guy, he's saying, you know, I ran a 4.18, I think it was, he was saying, on a hand time and training. So I'm looking to run a 4.4.
Well, I did read something, I forget who wrote it now, but there was a huge combine primer that I read the day you guys left. And it had five guys that will surprise with workout warriors. And this guy was one of them. And
he's got a great name for it, Mock Speed.
Mock Draft, everything.
It's perfect.
And it said he ran a 4.4 at Nevada. And I was like, wow. You know, edge rusher. I mean, that's exceptionally fast for that position.
He's tiny.
And then he ran the 4.4 at the combine.
We got a little breaking news here, Fred.
Breaking news.
Courtesy of Kevin behind the glass. Adam Schefter reporting that the Patriots have signed Marcus Stroud to a 3-year deal.
Ah, okay.
He's
unbelievable, Fred.
Paul and I got a little wind of that on Friday.
I wrote the update last Friday,
and we were
it's
actually
still sitting
like,
in my
holding it, hoping that it would break and.
When
of course,
news
now
breaks,
that we're on the radio, it breaks.
Yeah, but we can't even get it up.
Marcus Stroud, Paul, but because we kind of got a hint of that, you did some research into him. Compare him to Gerard Warren.
You really want the research?
Well, what do you?
He's been thoroughly ineffective the last 2 years. He has been a guy that's been
32 years old.
He's been reasonably healthy. He did have a shoulder surgery.
Love guys who are healthy and ineffective.
No. Last year, he's coming off shoulder surgery right now is the reason why I mentioned that. He's recovering from that. He's been ineffective in three-man fronts. He's tried to play defensive end, the five technique, as Albert Breer would say, and hasn't done very well. He only had like 48 tackles last year or something. Played all 16 games, I believe. Now, we remember him from his days in Jacksonville in a 4-3 alongside John Henderson, defensive tackles. Belichick used to rave about Henderson and Stroud and how tough they were to run against. Mm-hmm. He has been a guy who's been productive in 4-3s. He went to Buffalo, had a good first season in Buffalo, earned a big money deal, and has done nothing since. The last 2 years, they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Get him into our system.
And at this point, he'll be 33 in June. I don't think he's any different. I don't think he's any better than Gerard Warren.
Well, that numbers, concerned me because I kind of liked how Warren plays, and I'm wondering if this isn't an either-or. You're getting him to replace Warren.
That was my initial reaction, too.
I don't want that.
His numbers are a little bit – his career numbers are better than Gerard Warren's, but not by a lot.
5 years ago, he was a good player.
Not by a lot.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah, when he was with Jacksonville.
But they both came out of the 2001 draft. Mm-hmm. Warren was the same draft as Seymour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was 3.
Yeah.
Seymour, 6. This Stroud was 13 or 14, I want to say. One of, you know, in that area.
A lot of those D-linemen. Damian Lewis.
Yeah, and Stroud obviously was a teammate of Seymour at Georgia.
And they're almost identical body-wise. 6'6", 3, change.
So Patriots signed Marcus Stroud.
Which I ran by somebody in the organization yesterday after you left.
Oh, yeah?
He came by. Someone got released. Another defensive lineman got released. And I forget the name.
On our team?
No.
Around
the league. And he goes, oh, there's another one you can add to the list.
Sean Rogers?
No. Sean Rogers was the one I threw out there because I didn't want to say Marcus Stroud to this person because Fred had told me that he thinks that we're going to sign him. So I wanted to see if I could poke around, and I didn't say it. And then he came back in the office later. He said somebody else just got released. I go, how about Marcus Stroud? I was looking up. He's another guy who got released, pretending, you know, I was just doing research.
Right.
And he just kind of made a face and didn't say anything. So I had an idea that that we were right.
You know, make sure you catalog that face because that
Because he actually worked out in Oakland too, right?
Stroud did?
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't know.
I think he had
Henderson
a workout
is, you know, ironically, Henderson is in Oakland now, John Henderson. Who do you remember the Patriots ever having any interest in him?
Hey, Fred.
No,
just so
really,
you know, too, we broke that story on here before Rap Sheet got it up on his Twitter.
Beautiful.
Tremendous.
Exclusive content you can only get on PFW in Progress in a very special offseason
or from Adam
edition.
Schefter.
Right after Adam Schefter reports it.
Well, it went like Mike. It was weird. I saw Mike Reese reporting that Adam Schefter reported.
Look,
we're the first secondhand source.
Yeah, everybody's following everybody. And, you know,
that should be our motto.
You know,
always the first secondhand source.
Now Strippers is tweeting it.
Did you tweet it from PFW in Progress?
No, I don't think I have access to that.
You should have Strippers tweet it that you heard it on PFW in Progress.
Yeah, come
on. I can tweet that I heard
it.
It
was solid. Okay, leave out the part about.
But people will be like, he produces that show. The Celtics got Troy Murphy, too, it looks like.
Oh, really?
It looks like he picked the Celtics over the Heat just now.
So we got that going for us. The guy's played over 600 career
people
games.
Emailing
never
in,
having appeared in the playoffs.
People emailing in whether or not that means the end of Gerard Warren or if Ty Warren might have
I think it may be the end of Ty Warren.
Yeah. Maybe.
So, unfortunately.
Because I think they liked Gerard Warren.
But I think overall they need depth anyway. It could mean none of the above. It could mean they're all coming back and they'll fight it out in training camp. You know?
Maybe one of those younger guys that they drafted or you know, signed
free
agent-wise.
I'm assuming Stroud, because of the injury and because of his age, didn't get a ton of money. You know,
minimum.
So it's one of those. Hey, give it a shot and see what he can do in our system. And they need depth there. There's no doubt. And I'm not ruling out a high draft pick at defensive line either. I don't think that rules that out either. I'd
be a little surprised at that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say high, not necessarily high. I guess you're right. You have 6 in the first 3 rounds. I would consider those high picks. So yeah.
There's
a possibility for one of those. I don't think the first round will be. Eric's boy Cameron Jordan, you know that five.
I got to do my apology on Cameron Jordan.
He's
played five technique. He's a five technique player, but just looking at him, I don't see any reason in the world why he can't play linebacker. He is as shredded. He and Adrian Claiborne have virtually identical numbers,
but different.
Couldn't
body
look
types.
Any more different. It's like if you said Paul and I had the same numbers.
Claiborne's dumpy.
Dumpy and said.
I'm a defensive lineman. He was joking about making
the switch. He laughingly said, "Yeah, if I lost a lot of weight, I could play like." And somebody goes, "No, I was kidding."
Cam Jordan.
No, I'm like Paul Perillo.
I would put it safety. I mean, he's absolutely shredded, not an ounce of body fat, on impressive physique. I still think he's a five technique player.
Kind of looks like Adalys Thomas's body type.
I would actually say he looks better than Adalys Thomas. I think he's more if you wanted to put like a model to wear Under Armour, I mean, he's the kind of guy you're picking. He looks like he fills out the Under Armour as best as it possibly can be filled
Speaking
out.
Speaking of filling out the Under Armour, Vernon Goldston.
Gone.
Yes.
You take a shot on him?
Hell yeah.
I think you kicked
really?
Tired.
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Why wouldn't you?
Kick the tires.
I guess you bring him into training camp, but I got a feeling you wouldn't even get intelligence out of him.
Well, and that maybe not. I'm not looking for intelligence.
I'm looking for a player.
I'm looking
for. Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets.
The guy who was drafted sixth overall. I'm looking for just he's got the physical tools. Maybe I can be the one somehow to cajole him.
Exactly.
To
if anybody can do it, don't you think the guy down the hall could get something out of him? If anybody in the league.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Could.
You just said Marcus Stroud. Now that he's in our system, why can't we say Vernon Golston?
Well,
now
Marcus
that he's
in our
system. He also wants Bob Sanders.
Who?
Fred?
Oh, no. Take Bob Sanders?
No. Marcus Stroud is
nine games he's played in 3 years.
Hold on now. Before we start putting words in my mouth, Marcus Stroud has had some semblance of success in the NFL. Vernon Golston has done nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. And
but he's been in one spot.
But he's only been in one system.
Let's see if we can cajole
with one head coach.
Kind of caress him.
Well, two head coaches.
I just think this guy does not have the aggressiveness to be an NFL player.
You may be exactly right, but I want to kick the tires and find out.
Exactly.
You might be exactly right. That might be the biggest thing that he's lacking.
We've learned a lesson over the last few years.
He might just not have the desire.
The guys that are 6'4", run a 4'6", and can fill out the requirements of the position aren't a lot of them.
Right.
He's one of the few men on the planet that fits the measurables, correct?
Yeah.
Why not kick him?
Okay. I mean, what do you have to lose? As much as we make fun of Rex Ryan, he's pretty good at defense, too. And you would think that they would have gotten out of him, especially with the investment that they made.
He had Danny Woodhead.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah, and the argument you can make
Danny Woodhead had a Dallas Thomas in Baltimore, and a Dallas Thomas produced for him,
and then he didn't do so well here. You can make that argument, but I think it's apples and oranges.
And Ed Reed.
Exactly.
With a Dallas Thomas in the middle of them all. Oh, but this is pretty good in here.
But at the same time, he had all these guys around him at the Jets. So I don't know. I mean, look, again.
The one thing
Golston.
Golston. Oh.
Yeah, I was talking.
You know, look, I'm with Paul. If it's a no-risk scenario, sure, kick the tires.
Well, that's what it's going to be. You don't think anybody's going to give him any money after being
a four-year bust, five-year bust?
And
don't
you
think? I know Ryan said they dropped, but they haven't dropped in the NFL
yet. And if the guy has a choice to go somewhere, don't you think he might want to try to get back at the team that got rid of him?
Sure.
So he would want to probably take a chance here.
This guy doesn't give a care.
Well, I don't know.
That's the feeling I get, too.
He
was inconsistent in college. He was off and on in college.
Yeah, I don't think he has much interest. I think that desire is a problem for this guy.
Could be. Yeah. I'd rather find out though.
But the Jets got rid of four or five guys, right?
Yeah, Damian Woody was officially released. I don't know if they've gotten rid of the others, but they're supposedly going to do Golston, Jason Taylor, and Chris Jenkins.
Now, Chris Jenkins, I've always liked him.
Yeah,
now
he has a hard time
staying on the field, and he's a nose tackle, so he's not taking over Wilfork, and I don't think he could move. I don't think Jenkins could move around.
No.
However, maybe if Jenkins could stay healthy, you move Wilfork to the end.
Do you listen to anything I say?
What are you talking about, Paul?
Kevin writes that he's played in at least 15 games a year the past three seasons.
Who?
I just said he's been healthy.
And then I said, healthy and unproductive. I love those guys.
Yeah, he played 16 or 15 or more games, something like six out of the last 8 years or something like that.
Yeah. All right, so
he has missed very few games.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. All right, so you guys are back. As we do every year, first impressions. What stuck out to you? What were you surprised about? What came right in as you expected? You know, what are your initial impressions coming back from Indy?
I think the first thing that stood out to both me and Andy was Robert Quinn. He impressed both of us immensely. And if his tape is as good as his interviews were at the Combine, he's going to be legit. That was my first impression of him.
Quinny's for real. Now, I'm glad everybody joined my bandwagon.
He worked out and he ran.
Didn't run great.
Yeah.
Mayock was predicting a 4.5. I thought there was no shot in hell he would have a 4.5, and he didn't. I believe it was a 4.7 something. I don't care.
You know,
I've seen the tape.
Yeah.
I've heard him talk. I'm very impressed. Maybe I'm getting sold a bill of goods. I don't know.
But as Mayock says, with a guy like him, I want to see his first 10. How was he in his first 10?
Right.
Meaning the first 10
I just watched the
yards.
Tape. When he played, not only Mayock says he's the best natural pass rusher he's ever seen, he plays the run, too. He's a good all-around football player. He's not
really?
Just a...
Mayock did say that? He's the best pass rusher
he's ever seen? As good a natural pass rusher
as
I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what he said. And I said, well, thanks for joining the party, Mike. You know, some of us have been talking about him since last August.
That was one thing he said, too, was, you know, I'm going to talk about somebody who might not be on the radar of people who are going to switch to outside linebacker. Yeah. Robert Quinn of North Carolina.
You freaking kidding me? I'm a nobody working for one team, covering one team who dabbles in this draft stuff. And since last August, I've been saying the perfect Patriot outside linebacker would be Robert Quinn. And he goes, I'm going to surprise people here. Well, I'm going to say a name, Robert Quinn.
I'm not sure if Mike Mayock's listening to this
show. But here's the point.
It shouldn't be a surprise. He's a natural.
Right.
He's 6 foot four, 264 pounds, athletic, strong, plays the pass, plays the run. He smells like an outside linebacker, you idiot.
Sometimes people, you know, criticize us because we have our little, the guys in the media that we tend to use as punching bags, Mayock being one of them.
Yeah.
But this is why. Why does, you know, like when Peter King constantly has to tell you, just had a 43-minute conversation with Brett Favre, just heard a text from Peyton. No one cares. Stop putting yourself in the story. Why does Mike Mayock have to come out and say, someone people are talking about, when this has been a guy was a major, major story in college football when he was declared ineligible last August, and he wasn't going to be able to play for Butch Davis. He was, matter of fact, Andy speculated at the time that may be a huge break for the Patriots because that might cause him to drop from the top five, mm-hmm. which he was widely considered before the season started, to maybe the middle of the first round because he hadn't played. Now, ultimately, it doesn't look like that's
going
to happen.
Now, the hype machine's going again.
Yeah.
My hype machine worked too
Mike
well.
But Mike Mayock has to come out in the end of February and tell you somebody that no one's really talking about as an outside linebacker. Everyone was talking about him as an outside linebacker, an edge guy, an edge pass rushing guy.
He obviously listens to no one but himself.
Well, that's clearly true. But I'm very much intrigued by the depth at a lot of positions. Pass rusher would be one of them.
Yeah.
I love Quinn for the fit here. Kerrigan, who I don't want to like, I liked. He impresses me. He's a high motor guy, but he's a high production guy. Yep. I for some reason, I don't want to like him, but he's just likable. And what really impressed me about him was Von Miller, who's also kind of in the running for best pass rusher in the draft, brought up Kerrigan's name two or three times. They've been working out together, and he kept saying, you can't help but get better when you're with Ryan Kerrigan. You can't help but get stronger when you're working out next to
him. He's contagious.
He's contagious, and I may hate him when he gets here, but he seems like a guy that I would like to draft for my football team, Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah.
And then in the running backs, I think they all stink at the top.
Not a lot of good ones.
I think there's some talent in the middle of the draft. This Daniel Thomas kid I'm intrigued by to Kansas State, some of the Jordan Todman, Shane Vereen. Not quite big enough, pretty good speed. Not sure where they'll fit in, but I think you're going to get some second, third, fourth round talent at the running back position.
Yeah.
My guess is the best running back will not be the first running back drafted or one of the first couple. I think the best running back will be in the middle of the draft somewhere. I don't know who it is yet, but I think the best running back will be in the middle.
Now, do you still hold on your opinion about DeMarco Murray?
What was my opinion on him?
You didn't really like him that much.
No, I like him.
You do?
I thought he's not as a running back, as a tweener guy. No, Oklahoma. He's a perfect Patriot. I think he lost any chance of being a Patriot when he ran a 4.39, I believe, at the combine, right about that. One of the faster running back times. Mm-hmm. He's a slot receiver too. He played a lot of slot receiver at Oklahoma, lined up out wide a ton. And I thought that's a perfect Patriot there if you can play in the passing game five wide. But his stock's going to rise with a 4.340. That I don't think they'll put enough stock in him to draft him that high.
A couple of other guys on both lines, defensive line and offensive line. I was impressed with both Camerons, Jordan and Hayward. Jordan, as I said, reminded me more of a Dallas Thomas. Hayward reminded me a little bit of Richard Seymour, thicker, big body type guy. So two and it's listed at the same position, defensive end, but two completely different players.
Mm. Yeah, leaning in different directions from that five technique spot. One, Hayward to the inside. And Jordan, not really to the outside, but a more athletic type guy.
And with all the speculation about Logan Mankins and what's going to happen to him and, you know, needing an offensive lineman, I liked Will Rackley, the kid from Lehigh, who, you know, was many considered, and he did too, himself a Division I talent playing at a 1AA school. And I think that's one of the reasons why he got, you know, there's as much good film of him as there is because he got to dominate a lot of these guys. But I was very impressed with him.
Any other offensive lineman who you'd say, you know what, they might take him in the top one of their three first picks?
I think there's this tackle class.
Yeah.
I'm not sold there's a franchise tackle. I'm not sold at any of them. Karimi came out and said he's best tackle in the draft.
Well, that's another thing I want to ask you about.
I'm not so much sold on him, but I think there are good tackles, you know, Matt Light tackles. You know, you might say he's the 10th best tackle in the NFL or whatever. He'll have a couple Pro Bowls.
Yeah,
right.
There's a couple pipeline guys I think are interesting. Carpenter out of Alabama and, why am I drawing a blank? Eric, chime in. The kid out of Florida.
Gilbert. Marcus Gilbert.
I think both those guys have a chance to be Patriots. They're not right at the top,
right?
But they're kind of in the talk of being good tackles. Yeah. Now, so I think they could be Patriots.
You mentioned
also one other name I just want to throw out there: Villanova, another 1AA kid, Benjamin Ijalana. Very impressive.
Eat your
kid.
Own Lana.
Fred, what?
More probably of a guard type than a tackle, but can probably swing either way.
Speaking of.
But anyway. those are a couple of names that
I didn't care
very
for him
impressive.
As much. He told me he didn't dominate week to week. He felt there was always a challenge. At Villanova, I don't want you to tell me you're being challenged every week.
That's because you just completely downplay CAA football, and that's your mistake.
Oh, he did had a how did he word it? I don't know if this is true or not, but I've been told that we're like the SEC of
1AA.
I laughed out loud.
There's no question. It's by far and away the best league in 1AA.
Yes. Now the NESCAC was told we were great. Everybody's told they're great. You're not.
You mentioned one of the tackles coming out and saying he felt he was one of the best tackles. Gabe is that Parimi. A new thing this year where players are coming out and saying I'm the best?
No.
I noticed that in a few players saying I'm the best whatever.
No, I mean, mostly you get it from cornerbacks.
Yeah,
though.
Corners, wide receivers, and it's usually with the way they can do it as divas, like they have a little smirk or a little twinkle. He just seemed like a douche. I'm going to say it. He seemed like a total douchebag saying, I'm the best, and you could just go to deal with it.
Either like, that or like his agent put him up to it to say, you really need to do something to separate yourself at the combine. You know,
I didn't care
maybe,
for him.
Maybe. Who knows? But
he looks like a little bit like Sebastian Vollmer, though. Very similar frame and kind of dark-haired European model look to him. Douche.
And he's in love again.
No, quite the opposite.
No,
didn't care for him. Right. Oh, and we have a good one to argue. Quarterback Ryan Mallett. Eric doesn't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. I'm intrigued by Mallett. I had no problem with his press conference, and I think his physical skills are very impressive.
And you haven't even talked about Cam Newton.
We were all in agreement on him. We were all in agreement.
I don't know if you saw
his
throws when receivers weren't even looking as they
say. I know he struggled badly in his workout, but Mallett's interesting.
If I need an arena league player, maybe Cam Newton or like a running back, a quarterback.
Is this going to hurt him? Do you think?
Probably not, because I think there are enough teams.
Those throws?
Yeah.
No. But because there are enough teams in that top 10 who need a quarterback desperately and will take the chance that they can mold him and make him into the player
Plus,
that everyone
it
thinks.
Does I don't know if you watched it, but there were balls all over the ground. It was one of the least impressive things I've ever seen when the quarterbacks were throwing to the receivers.
Mm. Well,
versus air, versus
no,
nothing.
It's
just ground, air.
You know,
air,
I was watching,
air.
Obviously.
He was talking
on TV,
a lot about the timing.
And Mayock was saying a lot of that. They're being told to throw to the spot. Worry about the guys not
there. So the spot was 15 yards over the guy's head?
Not when it's over the head, but a lot of those sideline passes.
There's a difference between accuracy and timing. It's behind a guy, whatever.
Right.
He was throwing balls that were literally 10 yards above a guy's head.
I noticed that, and you know, again, I'm as green as they come, but from the few Auburn games that I saw to how he was throwing at the combine, I mean, he was making sure that his technique was perfect in the combine. That's not how he throws in a game.
Well,
I'm
he
sorry.
Also has to think about his drops, taking the snap under center. All that is new to him. The guy has thrown, what's the number? 280 passes he's thrown in his career or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean,
his technique at the combine looked different than it did in games.
But he's better, and I agree with Mayock on this, he's fundamentally better than Tim Tebow or Vince Young or those guys. He throws a better ball. His motion is better. He looks the part of an NFL passer.
Tim Tebow's vertical leap was higher than Cam Newton's.
Yes. Everybody was raving that the broad jump blew him away, and Tebow's was higher.
He was almost
vertical.
A foot longer in the broad jump or something like that.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah.
Julio Jones is the guy that blew
him
because in the broad jump, his first one was over 12 feet, but he couldn't land it because you have to stay standing. Well, he fell back on one and forward on one, and you have to land it.
You have to stick the landing like in the Olympics.
And he didn't, but he would have had a remarkable.
Julio Jones ran a good 40 times
with a broken foot. Yeah,
a lot better than
4.39 with a broken foot.
Is better than AJ Green's too, and that's going to separate them a little bit. They say, quote unquote.
I think anybody who takes Julio Jones over AJ Green will be regretting.
Well, I don't know how much you know about Julio Jones, but he's always hurt.
Yeah, and he likes to harp on his physical play, and he's a blocker. Okay, that's great. Yeah. I draft those guys in the third round.
Exactly.
I draft Randy Moss in the first round. Guys I'm going to ask to block in the
receivers
third.
I like Green.
This is not
but
a
I like
great...
Jones too. I just think he's always hurt. There's a risk there.
AJ
it doesn't
Green
seem like
is...
this is a great year for wide receivers.
No, I don't think it is. Yeah. I don't think it's a great draft, personally.
Really?
I think it's actually a pretty piss poor draft.
Your guy, Kevin Colbert from Pittsburgh, said he mentioned wide receiver as one of the deepest liked. But
that means they're going for every other position.
Could be.
They need a receiver.
I don't like a lot of the top talent, like top 10 type prospects. And you just look at some positions, and Like running back, I find blah, blah.
Yeah. I can't remember too many years where it was so up in the air about a consensus. Like, who was that?
Like,
you
give
know?
Me a blue chip prospect right now. Give me the best prospect in the draft.
I mean, they can't.
No
even,
one has one.
Right. There's so many positions
well,
where.
Might
I mean,
be AJ Green.
It's, no, Quinn is not a consensus.
It might be consensus.
I mean,
be
give
AJ
me a
Green.
Guy who. I think AJ Green, personally. That'd be my pick.
But
if you
go,
said draft the best talent, a guy you have the least worries about.
Wide receiver,
AJ. It's AJ Green. And you said one of the problems there. Everybody's scared to death to draft a receiver. Mm. Certainly, number one overall, they don't want to take a receiver.
But you even look
that
at,
tells me about the draft.
You know, the defensive linemen, you know, there's some guys that love Darius, there's some guys that
right.
love Fairley, mm-hmm. there's some guys that like Bowers. I mean,
I think they're all going to be pretty
like
good.
It's all over the map. They might all
Bowers
be pretty good.
Bowers gets downgraded for wearing sunglasses to his podium appearance.
So just to keep track, playing the role of Dez Bryant this year is Daquan Bowers.
Oh, no.
Totally
not that
different.
Bad.
Wearing
that
sunglasses.
Bad.
No.
Playing the role of A.J. Nicholson this year is Will Hill, safety
oh, yes.
out of Florida.
Yes.
Who, quote,
who bought glasses 2 weeks ago for
yeah,
the
bought
combine.
Glasses. Clearly they were just glasses. Wanted to look smarter.
What, interview glasses?
Yes. Has three kids that are one or under, two of them that are one. So are they twins? Oh, no. One's from a different mother.
And he had the
oh
line of the God. Combine.
I'm not a party animal anymore. Everybody thinks Will Hill's got a partying problem. Everybody thinks Will Hill likes to go out all the time.
Oh, my God.
Will Hill's been married for a year. Those issues I had, those were 8 months ago.
8 months ago. Wow.
Yeah. That's within the year, Will.
He's in the Charlie Sheen rehab program.
Yeah. That's what he was.
Winning.
Yes, he was
Charlie
Sheen.
Can we get some of those drops, by the way?
Oh, my God.
But I'm all jazzed up. I like this combine talk.
It's good stuff.
All right, guys. You can't take a break.
No,
why?
We got much more to
no
talk
one
about.
In
there. There's no one in there.
And there's no one in there
left.
Either.
Who else do you want to know about? Give me some more. Let's go. Rapid fire.
Well,
I wanted to get back to Ryan Mallett. You brought up Ryan Mallett.
Yes, I like him.
And
not as a franchise guy, by the way.
Well, the problem with
not
Mallett
a franchise, there's no franchise quarterbacks in this draft.
No, but
I just
it's
want to
not
say that.
Physical because he did everything that you need to do physically.
Right.
He's a pro-style quarterback. He was in college.
Mm-hmm.
But I question, A, his leadership and his ability to do the intangible kinds of things.
And I don't think he's a very smart
and
player.
B, I don't know how well he reads things. I saw him throw a lot of really, really bad interceptions
and you will again.
In key spots.
Eric, where did I put him? I think he'll be a 15 to 20 best quarterback in the NFL where there'll be days where
you say this is good.
Wow.
Yeah,
but then he ends the year with 20 touchdowns and 20 interceptions.
Even.
Yeah.
Right.
But
it's not good enough.
Some of these other guys, I don't think are worthy of being considered NFL starters at any point in their life.
So did the kid from Stanford make a big mistake not coming out this year?
See, I think he did.
But with all the labor stuff, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been the number one pick, consensus. He would have been the best player in the draft.
Yes.
Without question.
But he might have been thrown to starting job after having a playbook for a month. And how that all snowballs in the wrong direction.
That's all part of it.
But he's, I think you can ruin a career that way. When he throws five picks in his first game and all of a sudden he's getting booed off.
I think he can also ruin his career when Harbaugh's not his coach and all of a sudden they're not.
And that may
be
anywhere
near.
The reason people criticize the player for that is because he's not going to get the millions. Well, if the rookie wage scale is going to come into effect, none of these guys are going to get that money anyway. So if he went out this year or next year, he'd basically be getting the same lower end money. So I don't think he really.
Okay.
That's not going to change. His salary is not going to change, but I do think his stock could change. Now,
just ask Jake.
Yeah, might not. It might not. But
Jake
I think
Locker's
it could.
Now a run of the mill quarterback.
I think that could happen to Stanford.
Well, he certainly runs the risk because there's a coaching change, and that's scary.
And that's what I would be concerned about. Now,
but
maybe
I'd be just as scared.
Maybe they're good enough
that
the Pac-10 is better, because I don't think the Pac-10 is very, very good.
No.
I think the Pac-10 is okay. You know, Oregon obviously was terrific last year, but, you know, USC was down. They'll probably be down again. UCLA is not what they once were. Washington State's terrible. Washington's been down. I think that they might be okay because of that, but
is that kid from Arizona? That Nick Foles, I think, was their starting quarterback. Was he only a junior?
I think he might be a sophomore.
Yeah, he's pretty young.
I think he's young.
Yeah, okay.
He needs a haircut.
We have
a new. He can never succeed in
the
NFL.
Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert is the one.
See the barber before you.
He's got like a 1980s feathered look that I was like. I said to Andy, I'm like, he's not passing.
He can surf his way to the huddle before he gets there.
Hairdo test for quarterbacks.
We have a new bench press record, 49 bench presses.
It should have been 50.
Andy,
he was like,
you didn't tell me
he was
going to be working
there
out.
And he couldn't.
Now, did you see the film of that, the video of that?
Oh, yeah, we
now,
were
the
watching.
Guy that runs that, John Lott is his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see, like, when he was getting into the 40s?
Yeah.
John Lott's, like, pumping the air, like he's making love to the air. I mean, this guy really gets into it.
But that's, like, the highlight of his.
Oh, and Fred, by the way, they were doing that. They were doing the bench press in the floor right above where the media workroom was. So we were hearing him yelling and screaming and shouting.
I saw some of that on
it was pretty funny
on the network.
Yeah.
So Paul, you know what hurts Eric a little bit more than not getting his name mentioned ever here? So when we go to the combine and I get my name mentioned at press conferences and he's still.
Really?
Who?
Pioli.
Oh,
I asked him some question and I get an Andy in the answer.
How was
Pioli? I was
thinking,
I'm going to eat that one up.
Pioli
is tremendous. He plays the game.
Oh, yeah.
He says everything with a smile. He's got his little jokes. He comes in. You know, I'm not going to be here long because I want to go see the offensive linemen do their drills. It's some people say it's like watching paint dry. And, like, he's always got a little joke, and he says it with a smile, and he's nice.
Right.
You know, though, he's behind it. He's
well, he. I mean,
evil.
He's a communications major in college.
He does
so
a good job.
He gets it. So that's good. You got to see him. Any specific – not converted, you know, guys that are projected to convert to linebacker, but guys that – were linebackers in college. Anybody, you know, kind of stand out for you, established linebackers?
As what? Inside or out? What are you talking about? Pass rusher?
Pass rushers? Any outside or inside.
Well, Von Miller is a linebacker and he's a pass rusher.
Yeah.
He's undersized, but, you know, a lot of people think, you know, the Mayock with Quinn, but Quinn is, Miller's also considered an elite pass rusher.
And those other guys,
small.
Like Akeem Ayers, Jimmy Houston, those guys came very late
yeah.
on Sunday. The way the combine works, they have a day for each position, but they don't necessarily get all those guys that day. And sometimes the top guys like Cam Newton didn't show up the day quarterbacks were supposed to be there. He showed up late the next day.
No surprise, though.
Guys like Smith, Houston, Ayers were late. And it was at like the very end when they brought them like rapid fire together. So we really got very little time to see all of the outside linebackers. It was mostly the hybrid types that we got a good chance to. But I did talk to Akeem Ayers. He was asked specifically about New England looking for that. And I tweeted about how he said I would be a great fit in their system. He very, very impressed with that. I liked him a little bit better than Jimmy Houston, just from the interview times that we had with him. Because he seemed like
Houston?
He got it a little bit more.
His first name Jimmy?
Justin Houston, sorry.
Oh. My ear's already picking it up. I'm getting in stride.
Alden Smith, you talked to Alden
guy.
Smith, though, right? What did you think of him?
Alden Smith, I kind of like. I think he's kind of more of a project. He's kind of undersized. His production kind of fell last year. I hear a lot of good things about him. I haven't seen enough of him. I need to watch some tape on him to get a feel because I believe he broke his leg early in the year last year, mm-hmm. and that cost him a little time, and his numbers were he had like 5 sacks instead of the 11 he had a year before. He's really young. He had 11 as a true freshman? I mean, a redshirt freshman. This year was his redshirt sophomore year, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
A lot of people have a lot of good stuff to say about him. I need to see more from him. I'm not sold.
He came out as a redshirt sophomore?
Three years.
Coming off an injury.
Yeah, I believe so.
Interesting. Maybe he got spooked.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
Figured if I break my leg again next year, then what am I going to do?
And he joked. Yeah. Would have been nice if I could have come out last year. After the 11 sacks.
Yeah. It's interesting.
But I'm not totally sold on him. He's undersized.
But that said, I think, like we said earlier, the Patriots still need an outside linebacker / pass rusher, and that's probably the deepest position of any in the draft.
They will get one. There is no doubt in my mind that within probably the first 33 picks, they will take one of those guys. It's not necessarily going to be Quinn, but they will get somebody who you say, okay, they're going to count on him to try to get to the quarterback. More of a pass rusher than... I don't think Jermaine Cunningham is quite that level of a pass rusher. I think you'll see more of the developmental pass rusher in those first 33.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about on this special off-season edition. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We'll be right back after this.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Cappelletti. You're listening to PFW in Progress on patriots.com radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. Andy and Eric are back from the combine with tons of information. Emails are coming in. Lunch is here from James Pettigrew, the world's most interesting Patriots fan. Thanks again, James. James writes
Sorry
in.
About that. A couple of funny stories, too, from the combine.
Tell him to
we'll
call
sprinkle
me.
Sprinkle in here and there.
We'll get to that. Firstly, James says, thank you all for the great draft coverage. Andy and Eric were outstanding, and Fred and Paul held down the fort with great distinction. I never really do Twitter, but signed up just for the combine, and Andy didn't disappoint. I even enjoyed the odd, both sparse and strange, Fred tweets. To that end, I have a question
about the
combine.
Tweeting. Eric tweeted, too. Thanks a lot, James.
To that end, I have a question about the combine. Eric, can you ask Andy if he has noticed more college players seem to be getting into trouble? Is this the case, or am I not up on my history? Secondly, it seems as though most teams don't even care. Thoughts? Love you all. Viva la Revolution, says James.
Call me Pettigrew.
Does it seem like there were more guys getting in trouble than in the past?
No, not at all.
It's every year. We have fun with these stories and the tales because a lot of times we don't always know the stories going in, and you're kind of at the press conference and you kind of see where it's going and how it's unfolding.
I did notice one trend, though. In years past, whenever you would ask a player, what teams have you met with, they were right there ready to list half a dozen, as many as they can remember. This year, I think every team took the Patriots approach and told the guys they interviewed, don't talk about us. It was very rare to hear a player name teams that he actually met with.
A lot of players, I know, Mallett, Shaw, I'm not going to talk about that. That's between me and the teams. I mean, some of the big prospects, and then right on down through, guys who I think are just random guys and who should be trying to connect themselves to teams.
As opposed to the people who talked to the Jets and said, not only did I talk to them, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
My view on the trouble would just be that you're going to hear more and more and more as time goes by, because all of these stories now, you know, in the 70s when the Bear Bryants of the world would squash these things and you wouldn't even know about them, now nothing flies
but
under
now,
the radar.
But now, even worse, the way they get in trouble is the technology.
Well,
Will
part
Hill
of the technology.
Got in trouble through Twitter because he was tweeting all kinds of vulgar things about banging women and pictures and things on his Twitter
but
account.
But that was in his past. That was 8 months ago.
But that wasn't available 2 years ago. You know, that this is a new way for information to get out there about these guys and rumors to fly. And we know all these boosters and opposing boosters hear these stories, and then they blow up on the internet, and guys obviously get asked about him at the combine. But I don't think it's an increase in, and also not an increase in major ones. I mean, even that. I mean, so the guy said stupid stuff on Twitter. Who cares?
But you know what James might be thinking of, and I thought about it too, is NCAA violations.
Well, yeah, this year, because you have two guys that could go in the top three picks who had major NCAA, well, actually more than, well, but in the top three. Two guys in the top three picks. If Newton goes three to the Bills and Quinn is one or two, guys that had major NCAA investigations about him last year.
Yeah, right. I certainly don't think there's any more of that.
Really?
The NCAA is just ridiculous.
And Quinn was open about that, too. He talked about it, made a mistake, screwed up. I apologize all the time. When I was taking the jewelry, he even kind of mocked himself by saying, when I was taking the jewelry, because it was coming from a jeweler,
yeah,
it didn't feel quite as wrong or wasn't wrong at all, but then I realized it was. He was open.
The North Carolina kids who were involved, I didn't talk to Marvin Austin, but the rest of them all came across genuinely sorry for what they had done and were looking for a second chance. And you know, you can believe that or not, whether or not you think they're authentic, but I got the impression from them that they were. Greg Little, the wide receiver, who was one of the two guys who basically started the scandal, and Quinn, felt that they were being honest with us.
And I also liked, Quinn had the opportunity, somebody asked, do you feel like you knew, this has been going around for years, we all joke about it, do you feel like it's unfair that you got caught or you were the one who got cracked down on? And he didn't say yes. I don't think you should say yes there, even if you feel it.
Right.
I think the right answer is to say, no, I just paid my dues and move on.
His
best quote, by the way, did you read the quote about, because I've said Julius Peppers 2.0, and he said that that's a common comparison. DeMarcus Ware is also.
I want to be Robert
Quinn. Why I got to be the second Julius Peppers or DeMarcus Ware? Why can't I be the first Robert Quinn?
Right.
Well, I like it.
Andy just gave you his entire transcript right there.
Oh, sure.
Verbatim off the top of his head.
Hey, when I like a guy, I support him.
So thank you again, James, the most interesting
thank you, James.
Fan in the world for lunch and for your email. Warren in London says, wanted to thank your guys at the Combine for great coverage on Twitter. However, can you please teach them about using hashtags and adding links?
I have no interest in doing that.
And I don't know.
I called you
arrogant on Twitter.
Good.
I call him arrogant in real life.
Yeah, I would as well. But why is he arrogant on Twitter?
Because he said, oh, we've got this great update, and he doesn't give a link.
He refuses
to give a link. Were you putting links
in? I'm too busy. If you don't have a browser open and aren't hitting refresh, that's your fault, not mine. You should have your browser open to patriots.com and the blog all the time.
Most of these people are doing it on a phone.
Not most of them.
Yes. Yes. Most of the people on Twitter are on a phone.
And mine was down a lot. Is there a problem with the certain one we use?
Twitter?
I don't know. It wasn't down
my BlackBerry.
When you were posting incessant nonsense.
No, but
down.
If you noticed lapses, that meant it was down. Like it would kept just circling and saying Twitter unavailable.
It could be. I mean,
I would go online.
Some other things in the world.
What was
that were
it?
Going
was it Thursday or Friday when you came in? Fred goes, yeah, I'm going to have to talk to Andy about his tweeting.
Hey, what did I do?
Well, the MILF.
Oh, the MILF one.
Content. There were. I know, but.
And I almost sent a follow-up on, I think, Saturday night when apparently the MILF convention left town and there were just skanks everywhere, disgusting women everywhere, none of them hot.
All right, well.
Well, feel lucky. He filtered himself.
How was dinner at St. Elmo's?
I didn't go, but they loved
you
it.
You didn't
best
go?
Ever. Yeah, I wasn't feeling
good. You
great.
Didn't read the Scal blog?
No.
So we did an awesome job. He doesn't know what we did.
Well,
we did an awesome job.
How was it, Eric?
It was actually.
He just counted up all the links.
It was
wow,
actually
they
the
posted
best,
five stories a day.
It was actually the best meal I've had there since we've been going to St. Elmo's.
Did you have this shrimp cocktail?
Without the shrimp.
What? You just
had
cocktails
you just had the cock with tail.
Funny.
Oh, man.
That was funny.
Well, how can you have shrimp cocktail without the shrimp?
They gave me the crackers.
It's just
and
the
they gave
cock.
Me a little.
Tail.
They just gave me a little, like a little shot glass, whatever you call them, full of.
You just wanted to taste it.
I didn't, but the waiter said, "You can have shrimp cocktail too." I said, "No, thanks. I don't like seafood." He's like, "Oh, I've got something for you though that I think you'll like. Don't worry about it." And I thought he was going to get me like some sort of dessert thing or whatever, but he came back with that, and I was like, "Well, all right."
And
I tried it,
and you felt compelled to eat it because he brought it special for you,
right? So yeah. I had a few bites and. Cleared up my sinuses.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Know, in this
that's
thing,
a lot of sinuses.
A lot of sinuses.
People don't
now,
know.
Now, who was there? You, B-Lo, Scrappy?
Nick, the editor,
Nick.
And Bucky.
Sammy,
oh,
the weird
Bucky.
One.
Yeah. He was. He would go off. On that.
He must have had fun at the MILF convention.
He was trying to
his
best.
He hit on anything.
Yeah.
Did you have the navy bean soup?
No, I have the tomato juice. Okay. I like that.
I like when,
but
it's not enough that you go to the restaurant. You have to get what Fred tells you to get.
Right.
Well, it was a good meal though. The steaks were very
not
well
really
cooked.
A lot of options.
Like when I first, the first meal I ever had there, the steak was undercooked. It was dry. It was oversold.
It was undercooked
and underdelivered.
And dry. That's a rare combination.
Yeah. So it was. I had a pretty bad first experience there. It has gotten steadily better each time we've been. So I will give St. Elmo's credit for that.
We're not going next year. We're going to Moe's next year.
Yeah, we're
going
to go to Moe's next year.
I heard they
drop
have
the St.
L,
and we're just going to go to Moe's.
Okay, but, it's another steakhouse, but apparently they have a pile of cookie dough. It's billed as that they then put in the oven to bake somewhat, and then they put ice cream and stuff on top of it, like a baked cookie dough dessert, not quite cookie.
Wow.
So
Jay Glazer was raving about it.
It wasn't quite the who's who that we normally get at St. Elmo's. Usually,
temple.
When we go in there, it's always wall to wall packed. But usually we see a lot of players, a lot of coaches, a lot of personnel types, agents.
Agents.
There weren't as many of those, but we did end up sitting next to one of the few teams that was there in New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees, Sean Payton were both sitting at the table directly next to our booth. And the funniest part of the night came when Bilo, I guess Sean Payton had a jacket when he came in.
So Drew Brees went to the combine?
He wasn't there for the combine
CBA
necessarily,
oh, okay,
but it was for
okay.
the other stuff yep. that's going on.
Yep.
So they come and they get seated at the table next to us, and Peyton had a jacket, but he had, you know, the hostess checked it for him. So he's sitting with his back directly to Bilo in a chair, and they're like literally just less than 6 inches apart. And at one point, halfway through the night, Peyton, like leans back in his chair and reaches back, probably forgetting that he had checked his coat and was looking for something in his coat pocket, and his hand hit Bilo's coat, which was on the back of his chair, and he starts rummaging through Bilo's pockets.
Finds his Viagra?
At the same time...
I was going with a different drug, but I see what you're doing.
At the same time, Bilo reaches back. They're both talking to people at their separate tables, and Bilo reaches back and puts a hand in his pocket and starts reaching for something in there. At the same time, for about 5 seconds, the two of them are rummaging through Bilo's jacket, and neither one of them knew that the other was there.
That's
at
funny.
The same time. And then finally, Peyton, like, looks back and realizes it's not his jacket and, like, quickly, like, does it, like, whoops, and continues on talking. Bilo finds his phone, goes on talking. So I told him later what happened, and Bilo was just stunned that he didn't realize what was going on.
That's funny. Now, did the waitress go up to Drew Brees and go, "Hey, honey, you got something on your face? Oh, sorry."
Oh, no, he's gotten that taken care of.
Has he?
What's wrong with you?
What?
Really, really.
That was in poor taste.
Even for you. That was
really?
I mean, it's not like he plays for the Jets.
No, that's true.
And he's according to Eric, everybody he came up to him, autographs, nice as can be, his reputation is absolute perfection.
It took him about about 5 minutes to get from the end of the one end of the room to the other, because our table was at the very end of the room. Every table along the way, people were stopping him for a photograph, an autograph, and he obliged everybody and was nice about it. Then he gets to the table. He gets to the table. Here's the funniest part. He gets to the table. Families are coming up throughout the night.
See, I would not do that. I would not do that.
He's sitting right next
to him.
Yeah.
If Paul's sitting where Sean Payton was and I was Drew Brees, they were all coming up and having pictures with Brees. Nobody recognized Sean Payton. Nobody wanted a picture with him. Nothing.
If you, you know,
it's because he's going to the Cowboys.
You don't have to even go up to him to bother him during his dinner. Just take a quick picture with yourself. Hey, it's pretty cool. I'm eating dinner at St. Elmo's.
Right.
Drew Brees, right at the table
you're
next to
you. Bothering the guy.
What do you
while
have to go up
eating?
And bother him and get an autograph
I know.
For? That's so lame.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. What?
Well, I was just going to say, we haven't even really talked about the Mankin stuff. Right?
Well, Karen gets some good stuff out there.
And Kasher.
Yeah. I guess they saw his agent. What's his name?
Frank Bauer.
Outside.
He regrettedly stopped to get a Starbucks.
Right.
And they got him.
A couple of, I think Ian might have been there with Karen and a couple other people. And, Bauer,
Comcast.
Once he started going, the dam was broken. And,
travesty.
Just went off about
cuss.
How the,
called it a travesty.
Thought that the Patriots are really treating Mankins terribly by offering him the franchise for $10 million. And, you know,
this is what we did last week,
you know, how awful it is and so on. And, you know,
believe it or not, we didn't even get in an argument.
Several people have been offered the franchise and some have signed it. Mankins has not signed his. So it's still out there. And
but the ones have signed it are all
under
prize,
6 years.
Right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
It's double protection.
OK.
Lamar Woodley would lose about $7 million if for whatever reason the franchise tag goes away. but yet restricted free agency still applies to a fifth-year guy, he could go down to like $2 or $3 million,
right,
from the 10+ million. So
and he could still do
if the franchise tag goes away, Logan Mankins is going to become unrestricted free agent,
right? And for Woodley, whenever the new CBA comes in, he can still negotiate with the Steelers. They could agree on something and mm-hmm. then just sign it at the end of the deal.
Right.
And he would probably have to give the Steelers a little something-something for playing out the year. But
in fairness to Fred, we talked about this last week, and he did actually offer the other side of that
now,
last week, just not so much today.
Now, one of the things Bowers said was that, you know, we're weighing our options. What other options does Mankins have right now with the rules as they are? Now, we don't know what's going to happen if they come up with a new CBA, but right now, what are Mankins' options?
Could do what he did last year and just
stay home. For today, or you mean once the league year starts?
Once the league year.
He can shop his services.
But, I mean, Bowers, he says they're weighing their options.
He can
right
go
now.
Out and make a deal with somebody.
He can't right now.
No, I just said now or when the league year starts.
No, but my question is what options.
That's why I prefaced it.
My question is what options are they weighing right now?
I think he's probably going to figure out what the union's plans are in terms of the franchise tag, how strongly they're planning on fighting it, if there's any realistic possibility that it goes away, or if it's just a bunch of blubber right now, which
I
probably think it is. I don't think there's really any chance that it's going to get taken away.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
But once the league year starts, he, even though he's a franchise player, he is open to go out and shop his services to the 31 other teams, and they would have to decide whether or not they're going to make an offer and then fork over those two first-round picks.
If the rules are the same for franchise players. You know, because what I'm thinking is that, if it's true that the union is fighting the franchise tag, they want to get rid of it, and that's on the table, you know, it could be that anybody that signed the franchise tag, it would be null and void. But I would imagine that it would have to be honored. So in other words, if you sign a franchise tag this month, but in the new CBA there's no more franchise tag, I would imagine they're going to write in that they're grandfathered in.
No, I'm not. I don't think that
don't
would
know.
Be the case at all.
I don't know if that's a
if it goes certainly. Away, I think the guys that are currently signed to a franchise tag are not going to be under a franchise tag because, in my opinion, that's the whole purpose of the union being upset about
know,
this is because they think that they're using a tool that is not necessarily in play.
But as an owner, I think that they would insist, okay, look, we'll give you the concession going forward, but you got to allow us to keep the rights of the guys that we already signed, or else, you know, there's got to be a give and take there.
It's all hypothetical. I mean, we have no idea.
I agree. I don't think the franchise tag is going anywhere. I don't think that's going to be one of the things that the union fights hard enough to get rid of because it affects so few.
Yeah.
You know, what this year, what was it, 12? And that's a lot.
And that's a lot.
That's a
lot.
That's
I mean,
a
usually
it affects so few, I don't think it's
under,
worth
probably.
The union. I think the union doesn't like it, but they say, listen, we have 32 teams with over 60 players each. And it's basically coming down to it affects 12 people. That's not something that we're going to lose something else over.
Fred from Halifax, Nova Scotia says, I need to be talked down off the ledge. I just read Kuiper's chat from a few days ago on ESPN, and he said he is hearing the Pats are possibly going to try to trade up to get A.J. Green. Please tell me he does not know what he's talking about and that they are not thinking of doing that.
Why?
Of all the things we could or should trade up for, wide receiver is not one of them. They can only trade up for front seven help. Right, guys? Right?
No. What did I just say? Who's the best prospect?
I'm sorry, Mike. What did you
who's
say?
Who's the best prospect
listening.
In the draft? A.J. Green, my opinion. A.J. Green. If you can get the best prospect in a year, if you look back 5 years from now and said, we got the best player in that draft.
You think he's the best player in this draft?
I think there's a very good chance I do.
It's interesting. I like A.J. Green. I can't argue with
and
that.
If you
I like
get
the guy
that,
too
I'm
much.
Not looking to draft him number one overall, but if I trade up from 17 to things fall out, a couple D-linemen, three D-linemen could go in the top three maybe in Fairley, Darius, and Quinn, and then you throw in Von Miller.
Well, Bowers.
Bowers. And then you throw in Von Miller. If all of a sudden it's 7th, 8th pick, and all I have to do is trade 17 and 28 or maybe not even all that much to get to 7, to get the best player in the draft that I think, of course I would do it.
And you could still potentially, let's say you had 28 or 33 still left, it's possible that one of those pass rush guys would slip depending
on
how
depth.
I'm
not sure you're going to get the best.
You might not get the best guy, but you'll get somebody who could contribute.
And now maybe
right
when
away.
I play the Packers, they don't shut the crap down out of my offense with two corners because I have a guy that can stretch the field and make some plays.
Yeah, I am a big proponent that they need another weapon in the passing game. I have said that, but I don't think I don't take it as far as the emailer does, but I don't think I would be willing to necessarily trade up a long way to get a wide receiver. I don't think I like AJ Green a lot. I don't think the value's
if
there.
If he's though. As good as I think he is, I want him.
Is there any guy in this draft that you would give up the Patriots' first three picks to trade up to get?
Oh, no. Andy wants to give up the whole draft to get Robert Quinn.
Is this a trick question?
Can we eliminate
He really
Quinn?
Doesn't read my blog entries,
he
does
doesn't
he?
Read anything.
No, honestly.
Now I'm a little hurt. The first one was funny. Now I'm a little hurt.
Andy, listen.
First one was Eric. It was okay. Now I'm hurt.
Listen, Andy.
From the hearts, you should read. It's the quick kicks you
See,
would
just, I just take comfort in the fact that I not only read it, I read it to Beth at home, and I said, listen to what this moron's doing.
See, and then he
writes into the bottom, would you do it?
Yeah.
Knowing that there's going to be 87 comments.
No, but that's the question. Would you do it?
Yes.
See, I worry about giving up that many picks for one guy.
I started calling him
putting all your eggs in that one basket.
Whoa, do what?
Giving up, 17, 28, 33.
But what are you giving up? In a normal year, you're giving up one pick. Because usually you pick 28th, and you're not going to pick again until you pick late in the second round. So this year, I'm only picking once in the first 33.
Wow, is that a rationalization?
But I'm filling my greatest need with what Mike Mayock, your god draft, has said is the best natural pass rusher he's ever
seen. I know, but now you have the opportunity to pick up three quality players, and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to go for that one guy.
Who I think could change this team. One guy could change his team. I have Wilfork, I have Mayo, I have McCourty, I have Chung. I have guys that I think I can build around on defense.
Right.
What I don't have is somebody who can get in a quarterback's face. And if I can get him and only give up, as Paul says, my rationalization of one pick in a normal year,
you only have one pick that you give
up. If I can change my defense that much, I do it.
Would you give up 17, 28, and 33 for DeMarcus Ware?
No.
Really?
Well, that's a load.
You button hooks Paul there.
No, but we know how good DeMarcus Ware is.
Well, that's what I was. Yeah.
But you also have to pay him $80 million.
Right.
Robert Quinn under a new deal, I'm not going to have to pay $80 million, theoretically.
Yeah.
He's 20, by the way. All the bullet points are in favor of Quinn.
You have that much,
read the blog.
Those many picks giving him up, because you could get.
Because Bill Belichick has conditioned you to feel that way.
No,
if you were
no.
in New York, where every year they trade up and they get a guy that leads them to an AFC title named Revis, Harris, Sanchez, these guys, you'd be conditioned to trade up and get good players.
Knowing how inexact the science the draft is, when you have top quality picks, keep them.
No, you have quantity. To trade up, you get quality.
No, but 33 above, you can get good quality.
And you can get Lawrence Maroney and Ben Watson.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Vernon Golston.
Right.
You can get that. That's why I worry about only getting
Bill
one guy.
Bill Belichick, if he likes Robert Quinn or if he likes A.J. Green, I have faith in him trading up to go get that
guy. I assume
guy.
They like Lawrence Maroney and Brandon Merriweather. I'm assuming they like them.
The further you get from number one, the greater your chances of making a mistake.
That's true.
The best talent goes near the top of the draft for the most part.
That's true.
I know Patriots fans don't believe that. They think the same guy at 12 is the same as 52. He's not. There's a difference. There's a reason they rank him. Right. Otherwise, they would just rate their board horizontally, not vertically.
I do worry about giving up that many people.
I just made Paul snarf.
Oh, yeah.
He's a psychotic.
He's on a roll.
Yeah, he is. He's personally offended by what
Charlie
you said.
He and Charlie Sheen are on the same drug, I think.
Right.
Have you been able to follow any of that?
I'd heard of it was this morning.
Let me just tell you something. You need to
Tremendous
go,
quotes.
This afternoon, you need to go online and find some of the written, because you need to hear them. I heard a couple called into the radio show about which time
he's doing everything. I've seen clips now on Radar Online, TMZ Online.
He's had an interview with pretty much everybody. And
no, but when they said everybody, I thought they
winning.
Meant like 2020.
Oh no, that's tonight.
Right?
We have a that's tonight.
Chance.
I think
we have a better chance right now sitting down with Charlie Sheen than Bill O'Brien.
Yes, dead right.
Certainly,
and it might be our best show ever if we could
put a request in. Yeah,
I'm on the drug called Charlie Sheen. Everything is said like with
you should have heard
winning,
winning.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that one.
That means that he's winning. He's a winner.
If a celebrity calls you to try to help you, he wins.
I think when he says it's a win-win situation, I'm coming out ahead in that situation.
I liked when he was bragging about I'm doing 7 gram.
He's tired of that though. He's gotten over that.
But he's impressed himself how much he's been able to do.
Well, he has tiger blood in him.
And then he had
tiger blood.
He
in
has tiger
him?
Blood
he had his two porn goddesses
tiger Woods
with him
or
yesterday.
Tiger blood. No,
goddesses.
GM say he's a bitchin' rock star from Mars.
I've been living a bitchin' rock star life.
The statement that he put out was equally just ridiculous about the guy. taking the guy to an octagon, and
he was he's ripping. You know the Chuck Lorre guy, the I don't know, the creator of the show.
Oh,
that's the whole thing. He's winning over. I'm winning. You know, you're this little guy who lives off of me. I'm the golden goose. So you have, I took this tin can of a show and I made it. You know, the golden goose for you.
Yeah, he said
winning.
He puts out this statement.
Yeah, but it was just
said for years that the writers just asked Charlie, "What'd you do this weekend?" And then they write an episode.
But not
it's
everything.
Not, that hard.
Not everything he said was wrong. But it's just entertaining. Because
that Lorre guy made me laugh. You know how they end the show with the screen? It's really fast, and if you pause
it. Did you read it?
Yeah. Well, 2 weeks ago, it was, I get up every morning, I have a good breakfast, I go to church, I'm home by 5, I play with the kids, and I go to bed. If Charlie Sheen outlives me, I'm going to kill somebody or something. Like, he's making jokes now about Charlie Sheen in the end of that, the real-life Charlie Sheen, not the guy on the show, which I would argue is...
It's one of the most unbelievable things. It's a meltdown in front of everybody.
It's not going to end well, unfortunately.
It's very Mel Gibson like in its in a way, right?
Yeah. I laughed at that. Mel Gibson's one of the people that
has
to contact
back.
Him and
has his back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
dude, I know where you're coming
Sean
from.
Sean Penn. Yeah. He rattled off like four names. They were all substance abuse / anger management guys.
Domestic violence.
Sean Penn. Mel Gibson was one of them. There was a couple others too.
Muammar Gaddafi.
Howard Bryant.
Eldridge in North Carolina is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge, how you doing? Eldridge?
Oh, he locks him up. Did we tell you we had
He's usually really good. He usually hangs on for a while.
Tornado sirens in the hotel?
Yeah, what's this all about?
Yeah.
There were tornadoes that apparently touched down locally.
That wasn't
blocked. I didn't know. I probably would have freaked out had I known at the time. I just woke up in the middle of the night and heard like this, like low one. Had no idea what it was. Put a pillow over my head and went back to bed.
I didn't hear a damn thing. He told me about it at breakfast.
There were tornado sirens because there were tornadoes. They had something like 1,900 lightning strikes in the course of like a 2-hour span overnight.
Wow.
The temperature got up to something like 67 degrees.
Holy mackerel.
At like 1 in the morning.
We had a big thunder and lightning
storm. Bridges washed out. It was like chaos for a couple hours overnight.
Wow.
I think that was Friday, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a big lightning storm.
Either Thursday night or Friday night.
No,
we had a big lightning storm.
I have to tell you, I had a bad night there. I had to put my dog down.
Oh.
The big dog.
Sorry.
So that was tough.
How come?
She, I guess she had cancer.
Oh.
And it happened quick. You know, she pooped herself and was just lying in it indoors and was like, you know, she
not
never would
cancer,
do that. So I brought her out, and 5 minutes later, I went out to get her, and she had just collapsed in the snow. She was just lying there.
Oh.
So I brought her back in. We brought her to the vet, and they said,
nothing
you know,
could
we could operate, but chances are this is
here's where Fred got practical and said how much.
But the quality of life won't be that great, so made the decision. That is tough, though.
I've had to do that. That's terrible.
Yeah, it is. I don't know.
I'm sorry, Fred.
Yeah,
but, that stinks.
Know, still got
He's
the little
really
one.
Sorry.
No, I don't like that.
You know,
that
it's tough.
Bugs me. It really
that's
bugs me.
That's what
you
I hate about
one?
Pets. They become part
they
of
really
your family.
They really do. Are you going to replace it?
Eventually.
Yeah.
But not take a break.
Bulldog.
I went through the same thing,
I
Freddie.
Like bulldogs.
Mine was like 16, my golden retriever. And I used to have to, she got so bad with arthritis, I'd have to carry her outside to go to the bathroom and then carry her back in. And it gets to the point where it's just not worth it.
Well, Maxie was only 10.
Oh, that's young. That stinks.
Yeah, my dog was 11 and change.
It took us a while to get a new one, too, Freddie. It takes a while to move on.
Yeah, I don't want to rush into
that. It's been 9 years, and I still haven't been able to.
It's just not what people come to this show for.
No, but you made me think about the lightning, because I know it wasn't Thursday, because she was really, she'd get scared of lightning. She would sense lightning was coming, and like a half hour before, she'd start panting.
Oh, really?
So I knew Thursday wasn't the night that we had lightning. anyway, sorry about bringing the show down.
Yeah, screeching halt.
Eldridge is gone.
Right.
He's hopefully still driving.
Hopefully
but
not gone.
Yeah, I know.
We still have Andy's combine stream
that's
of consciousness.
That's too bad. I wanted to ask him if he knew the guy that hit me, Freddie, or that I hit from North Carolina, the trucker.
Yeah, maybe.
No, go with the former until you go to court.
How's that truck?
You.
He's a truck guy, you know.
Did you get the Rhino liner yet?
Tell him.
What kind of
truck
did you get?
Yeah.
Ford F-150 Super Cab.
He's hauling a lot of
truck guy.
I can pull your boat, Andy.
You have a boat?
Remember, you don't remember that whole thing this summer about what he likes to do other than
combine.
Football?
We're just back from days of the combine. We have unlimited things to talk about. Save the boat.
Phil in St. Pete says, wanted to get your opinion on Marvin Austin. Any chance you think we could get him in the second round with the possibility of moving him to defensive end? The guy has loads of talent and could drop due to his suspension at North Carolina.
Well, that is accurate.
Yeah.
He's very talented, and he probably already has dropped. due to his suspension. Haven't done a lot of work on him, though. Not going to lie to you. No? I feel like Mayock on that one. I got to consult my list.
He'll probably be available in the second round, though.
Alex writes in, was wondering if you guys could discuss the following outside linebackers and if they could translate to the Pats scheme and or be successful. Ryan Kerrigan, well, you talked about him. You like him.
Not as an outside. I'm torn here a little bit, Fred, because I've continued to say I think we glamorize a little bit too much the outside linebacker position. I can't tell you how many times I saw Tully Bantakane and Jermaine Cunningham drop into coverage last year and have to run with somebody. And B, if that did happen, how many times the whole game changed on it because one of those guys couldn't do what they had to do. I think we overplay that a little bit. But getting back to Mayock, I agree. I think Kerrigan is kind of a go-forward kind of player. I'm not sure you're looking to have him drop into space. But again, I don't know how much that really exists in the NFL. How often Bill Belichick says, I need my outside linebacker 7 yards deep.
Yeah, but the problem is the quarterbacks are so smart today that they see that matchup problem and they take advantage of it.
I know, but
when you have a guy who's a liability like that.
How often do they do that? And does the game change because of it? There's plenty of things on this defense that they take advantage of. And they gain 8 yards, or they gain 10 yards, or they gain 12 yards. But do I balance that out with when Ryan Kerrigan's moving forward, does he get me sacks? Does he get me pressure on the quarterback when he's in that role? And, you know, we've seen Bill Belichick take James Harrison and Sean Merriman out of games, right? Those are two guys that at times against the Patriots have not passed the eyeball test. And a lot of it had to do with they would motion, they would get into formations where those guys were dropping to coverage. But those guys have also won a lot of games for their teams against other teams. You know what I mean?
Yep, I do.
They're both defensive player of the year caliber players for portions of their career.
Yep.
So I think you have to balance all that out. You may not ever find the perfect guy.
Right. A couple other guys that he's mentioning, Justin Houston.
That's Erickson.
Yeah, I liked Ayers better.
Houston's good in that he played he was a 3-4 outside linebacker at Georgia last year. So there's less maybe of a transition there. But Ayers, I think, is the better all-around player.
And he's the more prototypical.
And Ayers is out of UCLA?
Player.
Yeah.
Ayers is UCLA.
But I don't think Ayers is ever going to be your 15-sack guy either. Quinney's my 15-sack guy.
Alden Smith?
Alden Smith, a little bit of a project intriguing. A little
right
undersized.
Right off the Mayflower.
And sounds like it should be. And he's got the leg injury that we talked about.
Brooks Reed.
Talked to him, right?
No. I hate to say Mr. Derek Havens, our friend from Arizona. That's his name, right?
Havens? Yep.
Derek in Arizona. Brooks Reed, I don't think he has any shot in hell of being a very good up on 2 feet player out in space, Paul. I'm not sure he can put his foot in the ground and cover. he also admittedly said comes from a very, very simplistic college scheme, which I basically did nothing other than put my hand on the ground and rush the passer. He said Barry Gardner is now teaching him, you know, how to learn about, quote, schemes and what everybody else on the defense is
doing.
Didn't
seem like the brightest bulb, did he?
No, he seemed kind of dumb as dirt. No offense to Brooks Reed or the Reed family.
Cavern in Gainesville wants to know, Andy and draft expert Eric, what, in your opinion, separates Quinn Ayers and Von Miller? How much of their workout did you get to see? I think Miller would be the perfect fit for us, but I fear he's in the top 10, and I doubt Belichick will trade up that high to get him. Great combine coverage. I look forward to the paper next week. So
we don't get to watch the workouts, and they take place. We don't get to watch them when we're there, and the defenders' workouts take place Monday and Tuesday, which are the day we leave Monday, so we're not there to see it.
So Quinn and Ayers, Von Miller, but from what you know, what separates them?
Well, I think Quinn is big, strong, fast, athletic,
and he's younger and has more potential than the other guys. I think.
I think there's a potential. He's a great, great player. Could we all be wrong? You know, me, Mike Mayock, Mike Lombardi, all these people that think he could be the number one player in the draft. Could we all be wrong? Sure. Does it happen that often that we'd all be wrong? I doubt it. Right, Paul? But
Hart, Mayock,
everybody
Lombardi,
says Von Miller.
All the greats.
Everybody, I don't need a logo on my chest. I have one, but everybody says Von Miller plays the run, too. I'm still a little suspect. He's undersized. He's not huge. He just doesn't have that big frame, whereas Quinn is just big. He's thick.
And he talked about playing the run. In his
and I've seen it. I mean,
interviews.
I watched some tape of him, and he plays the run. He's a good all-around football player.
He plays the run now.
Bill puts in. If you can't play the run, you're not going to play.
That's right.
So Ross in Glasgow, hey, men of PFW and combine vets. You mentioned blue chip players in the top 10 and could only come up with AJ Green. Have you forgotten about Patrick Peterson, or do you not just rate him?
Patrick Peterson is going to be like one of the top three picks.
Is in the consideration for being one of the best prospects in the draft. I'm always a little scared of the big corners as they transition to the NFL. And, you know, there was some, mini controversy that Mayock says someday he's going to be a great, he'll be an all-pro free safety. Peterson wants no part of it. Peterson wants to be a corner. He doesn't want to talk about.
Compared him to Rod Woodson.
Yes. And Peterson took that as a slight. Like, you know, you're not going to be an all-pro corner. You're going to be an all-pro safety. You're going to have to move, blah, blah, blah. And Mayock kind of backtracked and said, now I know how the players feel when I'm misquoted. No, you were quoted exactly what you said. You said the guy was going to be an all-pro free safety.
Another swipe at Mayock.
Well, yeah. It was exactly what he said.
He was offended.
He didn't necessarily mean it as a huge negative to Peterson, but Peterson took it as a negative.
Right.
But the quote was not taken, misquoted, or
out of context
or anything.
No.
He projects him as a future all-pro free safety.
Right. And he got very defensive.
I don't care for those guys personally. I don't. I think those big-bodied corners that are good enough to be corners but may end up safeties, to me, a lot of them over in recent years haven't panned out to be elite NFL defenders.
He is a freak athletically. Pat Forty actually just wrote something about that because it caught my eye because it said, not sure about DT, but PP is a freak. And I was like, whoa, what you talking about me about? Obviously an athletic.
The ego kicks in.
Obviously, I'm an athletic freak.
Is there a camera around anyone?
but... I kind of agree with Andy. Don't know a ton about why everybody's saying that, but I worry about guys that they say he's a corner and might project to safety immediately. Now, if Mayock is saying like Rod Woodson, he's going to have a 10-year career as a cornerback, but probably have another five great ones as a safety when he loses a little of that athleticism, that's different.
Yeah, but
right now, he's coming out of college as one of the elite players with elite athleticism from the SEC, and people are already talking about him as a possible safety. Why? It's like when they talk about guys that maybe he projects to guard. He's a tackle, but he projects to guard. But why?
And there's a reason
for it. Is
he not
good enough?
I mean, when guys are 6'1", 222 or whatever
he measured actually a smaller, 6 feet, 220.
When guys are that big, you get limited. You can't be as fluid.
Well,
you can't be as smooth. Your hips.
Usually that's the case. But if you can get over that, then you become elite.
And like Mike Haynes. He's an amazing athletic.
Yeah.
Athletic.
And maybe he's the next Mike Haynes. Maybe he's not.
Yeah. I agree. This is still Ross from Glasgow. I agree with Andy to a certain extent about Quinn, but how far are you willing to get him? What other picks would you use in addition to the 17th to get him? I personally wouldn't be prepared to trade up too far for him. If he was available at 10, 11, or 12, you could use the 17th and 60th picks, then go for it.
Well, then you're not that interested in him.
If we had to go higher and had to use the 28th or 33rd picks as part of the deal, I don't see the value. Great work by Andy and Eric at the Combine. I'm looking forward to next week's paper.
How do you really like the guy but not see the value? It's the biggest need on your team for the past
three, four, five years.
I mean, however long. And this guy, now we don't know what we're talking about. I'll admit that. But enough people are saying the guy's going to be elite. And by the way, one of those people was a Bill Belichick assistant who scouted for this defense in Cleveland. And he thinks he could be the number one player in the draft. He thinks he's the player. So he has some credibility there. I know he's now a TV guy and a talking head just like us, but there's a little background.
He doesn't need the logo.
If you value that guy that much, who really gives a flying fandango if you throw in the 28th pick?
Really, really?
Did I say six?
Really thought.
17 and 28 gets you to six, right? That was my math?
I believe that was the case. But the six picks got you to like...
One. Well, right? Not really. All six picks gets you maybe to two, and then you got to keep throwing stuff in to get to one. But if I can get to
would
six...
Would you do it?
I mean, am I flawed in my logic on the value of these picks? I traded Richard Seymour to get something above and beyond. And I have the ability to get a player that everybody's saying could be above and beyond.
So
I don't see
it,
that much
it's seven,
difference.
It's 17 and 28 to get to what?
To get to six.
To get to six. I would be willing to do
if
that.
If you throw in 33, I think that gets you to three or four.
Yeah, I'd be willing to do the 17 and 20. I would give you my two firsts to get up to six to get the guy I want. I would do that.
But maybe I misread.
If you identify, I don't know enough.
Maybe I misread why Bill trades around. But to me, he doesn't just trade around to get more players. He trades around to get more versatility, to have ability to do what he wants to do, I thought. Having the tools to do, to move around, to get... Sometimes it's more players. Sometimes it's, we need to add all these players. But right now he has the versatility to fill his biggest need with an elite player. And maybe he thinks his biggest need, by the way, is wide receiver. Maybe he needs to replace Randy Moss and it's AJ Green. which I'm fine with that too, but he's worked hard to accumulate these commodities, now,
the thing about Quinn that I would wonder is he...
Are we overrating
him? Well, yeah, I guess for lack of a better way to put it, yeah. Is he that much better than Von Miller and Kerrigan and...
For the Patriots.
All of the other guys that you guys have talked about
for
today.
For the Patriots, yes.
Is he that much better?
What does he weigh? 4'6". He weighs 260.
I get that.
I think when he's back in shape, I have a little bit of concern about what he did with himself during the suspension. He kind of tiptoed through, I worked out lightly, and then I did this. A little concerning to me that he doesn't smell like a workout warrior, but that's kind of the opposite of Vernon Golson, who clearly we know, based on the physique and the testing,
worked out.
A workout warrior.
Yeah.
I tend to lean towards Quinn's a little bit more of a football player, and maybe he'll have to cajole him and make sure he's working out. But I joked about it earlier, Eric. Yeah. I want a guy who takes plays off because those guys, that's the elite talent. Sometimes it happens. You know, it's rare that you get the guy who's the best talent and the hardest worker. That's what all the quarterbacks, you know, they find the quarterback. He's got to be the hardest worker and your best player. I want Quinny. I think he's the best player, and I think Harold Nash will get him in shape.
Jay in Albany says, is the NFL legacy status of Cam Jordan, whose father was a six-time Pro Bowl tight end, Steve Jordan, and Cam Haywood, whose father was Ironhead, factored in as a plus when it comes to evaluating them? One side of me is skeptical hearing them speak the King's English at the podium and knowing that they grew up in relative luxury and privilege. But on the other hand, it seems like there are many more cases of similarly situated athletes excelling at the pro level. Generally, I look at the Matthews family, the Mannings, the Hasselbecks, even Jabbar Gaffney, whose dad was Derek Gaffney with the Jets, and Matthew Slater. It seems they get it as far as professionalism and teamwork. Just wondering what your thoughts were about this or if it is insignificant.
I don't really...
Having the pedigree.
I mean, it helps a little bit in that they're more prepared. They've grew up in the environment. They know basically how the league works. They've... You know, they come from obviously athletic genes, so that all helps them. But I don't really – I'm not going to take one guy over another just because his father played in the league and his didn't. I mean, I'm going to go with who's the better player now.
Mayock buys into it. I remember
– I think it's a plus.
He said, but I
agree.
Big believer in bloodlines.
Yeah, I think it's a plus. I agree with Eric. It can't be the sole, you know, determining factor, but I think it's a plus. I mean, you have guys like that. They do understand what it takes to do that. And there were certainly a number of examples, you know, many that he just rattled off.
Stefan Wisniewski was another one at the combine this year, whose uncle and father both played in the league. His uncle was the more prolific of the two as far as the pro careers go. But
I think it's off the field more than on.
That's what I'm
absolutely.
Talking about.
I mean, absolutely.
We know what basically that Casey Matthews has seen his father, his uncle, his brother, you know, eat. Breathe and live football, and when you're in that environment, I mean, it happens in all walks of life. Mm-hmm. Cops, firefighters, you just grow up in it. You know the lay of the land. It becomes part of your blood, and you just do it. And I think there's a benefit to that.
Speaking of the King's
English, I wouldn't say Matthew Slater has exactly become a star because his name is Slater. I mean,
speaking of the King's English, though, Fred, did you watch the Oscars? What did you think?
I did, but I didn't watch the end when they announced like Best Actress. I turned it off at like 11. So I missed
how late
the
did it go?
I thought it was like midnight, but I thought that the hosts were terrible. I mean, they weren't terrible. They just were
boring.
You know,
I actually thought she was okay and he was terrible.
I think this falls in line with my, in this day and age, everything's terrible. I can't remember the last time when someone said, you know what,
that guy was really good.
Everybody tweets, that's terrible, this is boring, something else.
I thought the opening thing was pretty good that they did with all the movies.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was well done. I thought she was outstanding in it.
Yep.
But I don't really like.
Was she hot? You just made your face you make when someone's hot.
You know,
hot.
And I understand.
I actually do kind of like her. Maybe that's why I thought she was better than
you and Parenti.
Franco.
Parenti, I was telling Andy, Parenti thinks she is the hottest woman in the history of the world.
I think you. Well,
really?
I wouldn't go that far.
She's not that great.
I think
you pass the mall test, Fred.
I think if you went online.
She did some crazy nude movie this year, didn't she?
Yeah, I think if you went online and did a Google search on her, you'd be surprised to see. Some of the shots.
Not that Paul has.
Not that I have. But she actually made a funny line about that, too.
Yeah.
You know, about because Franco was nominated. Right. And she goes, I forget how she put it, but she said, you know, it used to be, you know, there was a day when nudity meant, you know, nomination or something like that. I forget what she said, but she sort of made fun of herself.
At the Adult Video nudity. Awards they do.
But I agree overall, you know.
Were you surprised that Social Network or any of those other ones that were hyped didn't get it?
I'm glad Social Network didn't get it. I mean,
I thought
I think people were intrigued with the subject matter because it is fascinating. But the movie, Aaron Sorkin is so overrated. Everything he writes sounds exactly the same. I mean, that dialogue
kind of like Lady Gaga and Madonna.
It's West Wing dialogue. Everything he writes. People don't talk that way.
Andy Hart does.
Occasionally.
Anyway, Patrick Peterson just ran a 4.32, and Jimmy Smith ran a 4.38.
Jimmy Smith loves himself more than anybody has I've ever seen at the combine.
Jimmy likes Elaine.
If
I could run a 4.34, I'd love myself too.
So, just a little combine info that just came in.
All right.
Let's see. Scott writes in. Andy, Quinn is a pipe dream at 17. Now go back to the combine and shut up, you E.T. 17? Clone.
See, this is what happens E.T.? When people. There was a emailer who wrote in saying that he would take Quinn at 17. Andy wants to trade half the draft to get up to 2 to take Quinn.
Paul, you've said it best in the past.
They're
fans
stupid.
Are stupid.
Now back to our program. Do you think we could trade the 33rd pick back to Carolina for their number one next year?
What?
Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. I don't expect that we'll be using our second pick in the second round because Bill will be swindling some GM out of a first in next year's draft. But in case there are no takers, I would love to see either Marcus Cannon or Torrey Smith taken in the middle of the second round if we could engineer a trade. Also, do you see the Pats taking a chance at 17 or 28 on boom/bust possibilities at linebacker with Alden Smith, Justin Houston, or do you think the safer pick, Akeem Ayers, is more of a Belichick pick either at 17 or 28?
I think any one of those guys will be available at either 17 or 28. Just depends on how, you know.
Well, Alden Smith is a guy.
If there's a run on a certain position earlier on.
He's got some buzz about him. I don't really know why exactly yet, but Alden Smith, I could see him being a late riser in this process. But the valuable pick trading will be the 33rd.
Right.
Once the first round concludes
and
quarterback Jake Locker or some guy that someone thought was going to be a first round pick, you could get a bidding war for that pick, and
first
then everybody has time
two.
To reset.
That's right.
And you have all night long to swindle somebody to find the Mike Ditka who's looking for somebody.
Right.
That's the pick I think you could trade.
Right. What you're hoping for is a lot of surprise guys going in the first round.
Yes. And then get a bidding war for if it's a running back, if it's a tackle, if it's a quarterback. Yeah, I would say quarterback is the most likely.
One more
somebody
thing.
Trading up there.
What is the possibility of Cam Newton being the only first round quarterback?
No, because Blaine Gabbert's going to go.
I think
too.
Blaine Gabbert's going to
go. So none.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that Cam Newton doesn't go in the first round?
No,
I don't see that.
I don't think there's a chance that he doesn't go in the top
10.
Handful of picks.
He'll be top 10, and Gabbert might even be top 10.
Not saying somebody won't regret it in 3 years.
Oh no, he's a boomer bust guy.
There'll probably be those two quarterbacks will probably go top 10.
One more thing, says Scott. I love Bruce Carter as an undersized pass rush specialist at 74. That's old for a pass rusher.
Well done, Fred.
I didn't actually talk to him. He was another late arrival. He's one of the UNC boys. Not one of the boys, though.
Not one of the suspension boys.
He didn't take any jewelry.
Mike in Rhode Island.
From the jeweler, so it was okay.
Be smart and saying, I tuned in a little late. Because I was watching the combine NFL, but I don't know if you guys realize the Pats signed Marcus Stroud today. You might want to talk about it a bit. Well, Mike, if you were here on time, you would know that we did.
Andy, not watching men in tight shorts run around, you little.
Andy?
We broke the news, actually.
Douche.
Oh, yeah. We broke the news of the news, I should say.
Right.
We are the first secondhand source on the internet.
Exactly.
Jim from Eastern Michigan University. Hey, guys, and welcome back, Andy.
Now, is that a shot at you didn't go to the combine or you never left?
It's some
or they
punk
don't know
ass kid who's
here.
In college who's trying to get a name for himself.
What was your impression of Alden Smith when we talked about that? Is he one of those hybrid 3-4 outside linebackers that could be a possibility at 17?
Yes.
Or is defensive end that, or is he a defensive end could limit his abilities?
No. He's going to have to, I guess not have to in this day and age, but I think he's definitely a possibility as a tweener. He's an undersized defensive end with some athleticism. All these guys, I need to watch the video because all these guys claim they play the run. They also, you know, people don't know about my game is I play the run. He said that. And yeah, I'll watch and see. I know Quinn plays the run.
What about the guy that McGinnis, the guy from Fresno State that McGinnis sort of tutored or something? Was there an out? Was an edge? That was an edge guy, I would assume.
Chris Carter. Is that who you're talking about?
Maybe.
Maybe.
OLB.
That one escape you?
Yeah, sorry. That one. I can't get them all, Paul.
Sorry.
I was actually thinking. Oh, by the way, Bill O'Brien wants to know why you didn't go to the combine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were joking about that on the plane. Shot at Andy. Because somebody said.
I said, well, he sat next to B-Lo on the plane ride home last night, and I sat right behind the two of them.
And B-Lo was yep,
yep, Chris Carter.
Yeah, the two of them were. Yeah, the two of them were.
I could have gone to the combine. I mean, I could go next year.
So B-Lo turned
today. Pages tomorrow. I could have
told Sean Payton, you know, get your hand out of my pocket. But
B-Lo turns around to me and goes, "Hey, Billy wants to know why Paul's not here," and we start laughing, and I said, and Bill says,
"We may have said vacation week,
something like that." And then
Friday, Richmond Friday.
O'Brien turns around and says, "Well, what's going to happen with the debate Friday then, if he's the only one around?" And I said, "Well, you know, Paul does like to argue with himself, so it's not out of the question."
That's funny that he follows like.
Yeah, but Bill O'Brien goes, "Oh, I thought that was him," and
he points to Andy. Yeah.
Make sure you
and
tell
I go,
your friends.
Hey, I don't like this reputation
PDA.
I'm getting, and he goes, "Tell me about it," or something, which I didn't understand. Apparently, he doesn't like the reputation he's getting. Was the tone I took from it. I also like the fact that he's aware of Debate Friday.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's pretty cool.
My guess is he didn't really mean Debate Friday because it sounded like he's either referencing what we do on
TV
or what you and I
do. I know. We're in like four debates a week.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
So, either way, he's attuned to what
PSW
is doing.
That doesn't even count Brandon Merriweather.
Right.
A lot of good praise
for
PSW.
Lord, I wouldn't call you a media whore, but I feel like that
sources
would be offensive to whores.
Inside and outside the organization.
Oh, yeah?
For the job we do.
Well, tell me about it. Why aren't you telling me about this?
I think it's funny that he asked why I wasn't there.
I was thinking, can we not send all three next year?
Of course you can.
Paul's not looking for that.
He's itching.
he's just broken into hives.
He's got a rash.
Because it really has reached the point where there's endless information.
This was the year I should have gone. If I would known for sure that we were going to crap out in the playoffs, this is the year I should have gone. Northeastern was 11-18.
Oh, boy.
Wouldn't have missed anything.
Now he's dictating his schedule.
Seriously. You just tell him he's going to the combine next year?
No. When he said we crapped out in the playoffs, I thought he was talking about the Patriots.
In all honesty.
That's what I was talking about.
The Patriots.
If I had known that we were going to crap out and not go deep, this was the year I should have.
But I know the combine has gotten strict about the credentials. Is there a
limit?
We
get ours from the team now.
No, we're okay.
Ours say New England
so
Patriots,
no limit?
And
no.
I could walk anywhere I wanted.
Great.
As long as some people from around here didn't see me.
Exactly.
I'll think about it.
That was the good thing.
How
I mean,
he thinks about.
Yeah, we had as much access as we would have wanted.
And just so you know, if you could somehow lift your profile a little bit, it would be your heaven. Because if you were Peter King, you could talk to cameras all day long. Because Peter King just, you know, the B-lows of every single team stops Peter King and say, "Hey, Peter, can you talk?"
I have no
And we know how much
that.
You love cameras.
First of all, I have no interest in being that guy. I have also no interest in listening to those guys talk about the combine.
They
don't know if it's puffed or stuffed.
I don't either. But B-Lo likes those guys.
You know, Mike Mayock, as much as we made fun of him today, sure. Mike Lombardi, sure.
Although we
Peter
did decide.
King, no interest.
We did decide that of all of us, I'm the Charles Davis of the crew.
Yeah, that poor sucker.
You know how they bring out the team executives and the coaches and everything? And
no
each
one
day,
wanted to talk to
no,
Charles Davis?
No. Each day they have one of the NFL Network people. The first day I think it was Lombardi.
Yeah.
Then it was Charles Davis. And then Mayock was the last day. And there's a website where we have all the transcripts from everyone who's been at the podium. There was no transcript for poor Charles Davis.
And there was, you know.
And they were there. People
were
there. But
it wasn't as big as Mayock. He just doesn't. He was on a side. They have like. They have two end podiums that are
like
A
at
and
the
C
Super Bowl?
That are big deals.
Right.
Then there's a B podium that's kind of behind a wall, and then there's tables throughout. He got the B podium. No one respects him.
Well,
he really is the Eric.
Sure.
Wow.
Every organization needs one.
No, they don't.
Now, Paul would be. Who would Paul be on the NFL Network? Because I'm Mayock.
Who doesn't show up?
Jamie
for the
Dukes.
Cover?
Just waiting for the Jamie Dukes.
No, you're a little more high profile than Jamie Dukes.
Thanks, big guy.
I was thinking you're like Mooch or somebody. Everybody knows the face, but he says absolutely nothing of any value.
I was going to say,
and doesn't show up
Billick
for the combine.
He does whatever he wants.
He'd be Brian Billick.
But that's not right at all.
Billick might be a good one for you.
Don't tell me. I fake it pretty good.
Mark tape.
No, I don't think he could be Mooch because, you know, if Brett Favre snuck up behind Paul, Paul wouldn't start crying.
Apparently Mooch's big thing this week was bringing cannolis to guys on the set.
Would you say, Paper
I said, but if he's trying to keep his job.
But if Bledsoe showed up, you might.
Well, that's true.
Freddie, you're a geek. Did you see the E39? E39?
Oh, that little device
buzzer
on
all the running?
That they were running. It was like
Under Armour.
A little yellow device that was on the Under Armour gear.
Records
that
records everything.
Oh, yeah?
It'll be available next year to the public.
It's a USB port.
Yeah.
And it collects all this information. You stick it in the computer, and it tells you heart rate.
Wow.
But all your
stuff, your acceleration.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who can prove it. But I like it's kind of cool. It's like Kit. It's got green lights that kind of like
right.
go back and forth and stuff. It looks cool.
The coverage on NFL Network is abysmal.
I don't see
we always had it with the sound off.
Yeah, I mean, we see it. But
absolutely awful.
Well, it's also hard to do. There's guys running around cones for 6 hours, and Mike Mayock's supposed to somehow make this interesting and valuable. I don't fault him. I mean, it's a terrible event. The fact that they've been able to make it a TV event is great
promotion
on their part.
I don't understand why they can't have the info available immediately. I mean, isn't this stuff electronically recorded? I mean, as soon
they
as
they put it immediately,
not really.
When
like
the guy's walking back, they put his 40 time.
Well, that's unofficial time.
Yeah, yeah. It's usually off by like a hundredth or
like,
something.
Well, like, well, they do on the dash. They do a lot, but like for example, the cone drill. They should have what he did and how it ranks with all the other guys that did it.
Like,
because
those are all handheld.
Exactly.
It should be like the Olympics.
No, those are all handheld, though. You can't.
Really?
Yeah. The only one that's is the straight line is electronically timed. All those other cone drills are handheld, and they have multiple guys doing it, and they compare it, and I think they throw out the highest, the lowest, and average the middles or something.
Well, they should have that stuff up there as soon as possible.
That's where we're going, though, with this thing, this E39. Right. Eventually, they're going to be tagged, so everything is computerized and instantaneous.
Paul's left.
It's a growing problem.
Yeah, I guess.
What time is it? Yeah, it's about that
you
time.
You literally just got up and walked out without saying anything.
1:30.
Well, he has nothing to offer. He didn't go to the combine.
Bathroom's right there.
Although, look at that bottle of Pepsi.
A 2-liter bottle that has
about... He just polished off a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi.
That's true. He doesn't have a growing problem. He just drinks
a liter
at a time
problem.
Of Pepsi. Right.
I mean, this like...
Imagine if he got what you had and
there's
he couldn't
like a cup
drink
left
that.
In would, the bottom.
It would kill him.
You'd be so surly like every day.
But if he got what I... He'd probably lose like 30 pounds. Because I know it's diet, but it's still not good for you.
That's what I said.
And you would think
everybody
caffeine,
I talk to argues and goes, it doesn't have any calories.
Oh, no, no. It's not about that. It's about retaining water, and it's got a bunch of – yeah, he would lose weight instantly if
that's
he stopped drinking all that.
That's how I picked him out at the damn game in front of everybody.
How fat he was?
Well, that and along the fact that he was chugging a bottle of diet soda.
Yeah, 2 liters of caffeine, and he doesn't get, like, wired. He just...
How do we know? We don't know what he is when he's not wired.
That's a good point.
That's true.
He
could be comatose.
He might get headaches.
He drinks Pepsi. He drinks that at, like, 9 a.m.
I know.
It's all day long.
We had a big meeting this morning up in one of the suites, and they have fridges, and boom, went right to the fridge for Diet Pepsi. There's coffee there and everything.
It was a summit. It wasn't a meeting.
It was a summit.
It was a summit.
Yes,
content summit called by Fred Kirsch.
I wanted the little flags in front of us. You know, like they do with the
yeah, that would have been
UN,
sweet.
That's what it felt like.
Right? Well, I do like the way you had to tell everybody that you actually named it.
It would have been pretty funny.
The 2011,
and it had a subhead.
Yeah. If we were all tweeting from the summit, like giving updates over the course of the 2 hours.
Well, actually, I should have had translation headphones for when you speak, Kevin.
Oh, come on.
One more guy. I'm
not
talk
coming
about.
To the next one.
Owen Marisic. How do you say
the,
Marisic?
Oh, is this the linebacker fullback?
Yeah. Did you get my tweet on that? By the way, that I answered one of your tweets.
I don't know. I'm not good with that. Like,
I don't. Yeah,
knowing
don't
when an answer, what it's to, and I wasn't sure exactly who you were referencing. But he is very. I mean, you think of him. I mean, he's this throwback, hard nose, two way.
Not
he's
interested.
Just introverted. Quiet, looks kind of small and frail. You're like, this guy started both ways at a great college football team.
Top five team.
Like, it's just amazing. He's very quiet.
Yeah, I don't think he does anything well enough.
Oh, no. But he's going to get a shot.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was here. I mean,
first of all,
there's a lot of people that respect what he did.
He's supposedly the absolute ultimate leader.
Oh, yeah.
And well-respected.
They used to chant the wisest when he would come to address the team because...
What is he, Yoda?
Well, that's,
I don't know what that means, but
that's basically what I mean. He's thought to be one of
Brooklyn
like
Matt. He doesn't know what Yoda is.
I know what it is. I don't speak geek.
That's a once in a generation kind of inspirational leader type. That's what he's considered. There was a story in Sports Illustrated about him that
perfect football player, according to Jim Harbaugh. And one of the stories he tells is very first week of his first year, I believe. They were just practicing everything. No one had really talked to him. He was just kind of blending in. And Harbaugh has a policy. Every practice, one or two players have to address the team
after
say something. Didn't I say that? Every practice?
I thought you said at practice.
This guy's turning into Frederick Kirchhoff. Anyway, they brought Marasic up, and he addressed the team and just, you know, jaw-droppingly good. And ever since, they would chant the wisest whenever it was his turn, whenever Harbaugh would announce.
Well, he could be the next Larry Izzo, maybe.
Yes. Or Matthew Slater, or a skilled Ross Ventrone, a higher level of competition. Right. Who you don't really love anything he does, but you love to have
him on your
team.
Would you take this guy in the fifth round?
I'd take him.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for these things, though.
How high would you go?
I would take Herzlick, too. I don't care that he ran a 5-flat 40. Herzlick knocked my socks off. Best combine press conference I've ever seen. The guy should go right into motivational.
This is the BC guy.
Yeah. Motivational speaking, $20,000 a pop, bring him to your company. Everybody, especially if you pair him with the Harbaugh brothers, your employees will be running through walls for you at the end of the day. Those three together were some of the more impressive people I've seen at the combine over the years. The Harbaugh brothers, I know why people want to play for him. And Herzlick, just great story, great attitude, great everything.
Okay.
Herzlick is a guy that I would – I mean, where's he supposed to go? Do they know?
Probably mid-rounds.
Well, three?
After yesterday?
Maybe five?
Was like 3/4 yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought
– I got to think at 4.94, he's dropping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was thinking that he would be – remember when Bill talked to us about the third round?
And yes.
Just the oddities of that third round. There's a lot of guys in the third round that have first-round talent that end up in the third round for whatever reason. To me, this guy screams that. And obviously, we know what the reason is. I would love to take a guy like Herzlick because I know all of the other stuff is there.
Herzlick.
If his body returns to the way it was.
That's the one problem. I think he did himself a disservice in his press conference by saying, I'm at 100%. My numbers are back. My play was back at the end of last year. My times are back. I wouldn't have said that if I were him.
You say that I'm getting better every day.
Yep. Yeah. Just like Wes Welker did when he was on the field. He'd been practicing for 6 months. Then he had been playing for six games, and he was still saying, I'm nowhere near back to the Wes Welker. Hmm. That's a good answer when you're averaging 6.6 yards a catch. Just like Mark Herzlick, that would have been a good answer to, I just ran a 4.94, but don't worry, I'll be back to 4.7 by the time I'm at full health. He said he was at full health. If he knows what he's talking about, that's not good.
Let's see. Chris writes in, would you think, he wants to get our opinion of, Shiloh Keough. Would you think that this guy would be an interesting look? He seems like he's going to give everything he's got every play. I watched his combine today and he didn't give up at the end of any play. He only dropped one ball.
Eric's going to talk to you about Shiloh Keough.
Let's see if we can find him.
Rich Eisen just ran the 40.
Who cares about him?
In a suit and tie?
Drippers was tweeting at me to try to get you to talk
Eric, while
about
you
it.
Look that up, the best thing they have at the
what
combine.
What do you think he ran, Freddie?
Who cares? Is the 40-yard dash
5.9?
No, yeah, 6.
Oh, my God. We're really 6. Talking about Rich Eisen running the 40.
6.1.
What?
God, 6. Oh,
it's actually a better time than last year.
He's been training.
I could run that with my ruptured Achilles.
He also did it in a suit and dress shoes.
I don't think we have Shiloh Keough on our...
He didn't make the big board, Andy?
I don't know who the bleep he is.
I don't know who he is.
I'm man enough to say it.
He's probably not.
See, McElroy.
I'm looking at tight end.
48 in the Wonderland.
Dropping ball, so I assumed he was the wide receiver.
Word out of Indy was that he missed one intentionally because he didn't want to have the stigma of having
a perfect 50. So he really got a 49?
His grade from Andy out of the combine rhymes with moosh.
Yeah.
Hate him. Couldn't hate him more. He loves him.
He's an unlikable
kid. Loves him.
He's a very unlikable kid.
McElroy, your boy.
Oh, seen a lot of interviews with him over the years. He's a very
He'd rather have
kid.
McElroy than Mallett. I'll take
Mallett.
Yeah, I would.
Thanks. Oh, have
God.
McElroy.
And that's... my guy to keep an eye on is out of your conference, Patty Devlin. Is that Pat?
Well, he's
Delaware.
Got, you know he's got 1A pedigree, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And
he's
I,
good
I haven't seen enough of him.
I didn't see enough.
Ridiculously accurate, and he was the most accurate passer in the drills. To me, that right there makes you a Patriot. If you can throw the ball where you want it to go every single time.
Did take the gas pipe in the national championship game, but what?
I'm not looking for him to turn over my franchise. I'm looking for a number three quarterback who might work to be number two and beat out Hoyer.
Okay, sorry.
I'd rather have him than the developmental project Colin Kirkpatrick, who stinks.
Colin Kaepernick.
He's got bad feet, bad hands,
terrible.
Bad arm, bad everything.
He was terrible.
Why is he a project? Just get rid of him. I saw nothing that I wanted to work with.
Yeah, he was bad. He had a bad combine.
And Eric wanted to like him, but he couldn't.
Oh, going in,
Why
I thought
did you
he
want
was
to like him?
Oh, going in, when I read about
intrigued.
Him, intrigued. He
well, I didn't know
the,
if there was like a connection.
No, no, he gave me the Kevin O'Connell type
vibe.
Yeah,
what could happen to that?
You're
one?
You're good with those vibes.
That was probably my biggest draft miss. Kevin O'Connell, I loved Kevin O'Connell in that pre-draft process.
Another thing that I brought up talking about with Eric at one point, the last 2 years, the last two drafts. I've fallen in love with two players well in advance, more than a year before the draft. No, this is not... It's going to sound like a pat on my back, but...
I'll let you guys pat me
and
on
those,
the back.
No, and those names were Sam Bradford and Robert Quinn.
Rashard Mendenhall.
And, no, that's further back.
Ay, ay, ay.
Those two guys played a combined quarter of football in their last year before being drafted,
yeah,
and still went number one overall.
Does
now,
that
now
he has
thoroughly
number one.
Devalue like the whole like got to play the season, got to get tape, got
or the theory of the combine like, doesn't mean anything and all this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, they play the games,
right.
Reevaluate the games.
But
really?
These two guys take a year off and then go number one overall. I just, it's weird. I mean, a year in advance, you knew who's going to be the number one pick.
Yeah,
or I did anyway.
Well, Mayock just found out.
That was a pat on the back.
Yeah, that was.
What? Who's Chad Reuter or Reuter? Do we know who that is? R-E-U-T-E-R. Anyway, he
he's from he's one of our boys, I believe.
Hey, did Fanhouse
go out
of business?
He works with Rob Rank at NFL Draft Scout.
Well, he just tweeted. He says if New England only wants space eaters as five technique, they can pick up a 30-year-old vet every year for that duty. So. Whatever.
Commenting on the Stroud signing?
I guess so.
He's 33. But anyway, Fanhouse, AOL Fanhouse?
Yeah.
Is that gone?
No, I don't think so.
Still I saw around. Someone wrote up. RIP Fanhouse on Twitter like this morning.
Oh, maybe it died today.
I don't know what
maybe
that
was. Unless they wanted you to rip the Fanhouse. Maybe they didn't like what's going on over there.
Chris from Germany writes in, first, I want to apologize to Eric for excluding him last week in my email. Didn't do it on purpose. I just wasn't aware Eric goes to the scouting combine too every year since I've only been listening to you guys since the beginning of last year's training camp. Now to my question. Well,
if that's
okay,
a real
that's
email,
fine.
It's tremendous.
Now to my question.
It still hurts a little, Eric.
I read on Twitter that Ian Rappaport was asked if he has heard the Pats don't work with Tom Condon, or is that going off recent history? And he answered both. What do you guys think? Do the Patriots not work with Condon and therefore may not draft one of his clients? They've had problems with him in the past.
They definitely have had problems. Yeah. I'm not sure that they would avoid a client.
That was the big Ben Watson problem, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't think they've had a guy since. But I don't think that Bill would say, I'm going to shut myself off to all Tom Condon clients because of that. Doesn't sound like something Bill would do.
On a side note, Owen Marasik doesn't have an agent. Not going to get an agent.
Oh,
well,
yeah?
Yeah. Why
it's a throwback.
He's smarter than any agent. What
is
he
that right?
For?
Yeah.
This guy just wants to be the next Teddy Bruschi, huh?
So, Kevin, were you saying Fanhouse is kaput?
Update. He's on the phone.
He's on the phone now.
I believe Fanhouse is. He gave me the nod.
What do you mean it's kaput?
No longer in
business. No longer exists.
Yeah, it became an entity of the Sporting News.
Wow, Fanhouse was doing. They were starting to get some pop.
I used to have. Yeah. I used to have one of their writers on the Patriots Playbook all the time, and he was great. Andy Kemp.
Aye.
Pierre
Isn't
from
it John Rook's show.
But Fred, what? That was Derek, and he's complaining about the Brooks mobile Reed? App not working on his Android device. So.
Oh, so did he not hear me ripping Brooks Reed? Do I need to do it again?
I don't think he heard you, but
download the podcast.
I told him to
later.
Write Fred an email because it's out
well,
of
the question
it's above
had,
my pay grade. Is Fred
had it ever worked or
Jen
is it just working?
She's looking at him like, what the heck?
Yeah, that was uncalled for.
What?
You know, above my pay grade.
What?
Taking pot shots at his own summit.
That's okay. I'm being
That's
humble.
Okay.
I'm being humble.
Yeah. If I had an ego, this would bother me.
Pierre from Paris says, I love Von Miller, but I do agree that he does not seem to be the best against the run on the outside. But I saw some of his games at Texas A&M, and he made some game-changing plays on 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-goal by catching the running back that is running up the middle. But I also saw him drive tackles in the Cotton Bowl against LSU. What do you think about trading up for him as he might drop to 6 or 7 because other teams would take D linemen? Also, Andy, if you trade all your picks for Quinn, what do you do about the offensive line problems and maybe adding another defensive lineman? And by the way, great job by Andy and Eric.
So. That's not funny. Why'd you end the email that way?
Now I'm getting all sorts of complaints that it's not working on any mobile devices.
Okay,
so
well, then tell Chris.
Hear.
On any mobile so there's something wrong?
Yeah, people are trying to...
people
no,
are trying
it's
to,
by you. No, but... I mean,
executive director of New Media.
What I mean, so
yes,
know
there
it,
is an issue. It's not just Derek's phone because I'm getting multiple
reports. I know
reports.
It has worked, so...
Multiple platforms?
What's going on?
There was one time that it worked, so I know.
Is it just mobile or is it everything? That's not
Should
working.
I not talk about Von Miller?
I don't know. I can't. I'm not going to ask all these people.
And is
what
it just
specific...
the show or is it the whole app? That's what
okay,
I need.
Okay, I'll ask that question, but I'm not going to start logging what type of phones.
But forward those emails to Chris.
Okay.
So maybe he can respond.
Yeah, he'll love getting them.
I
want to clarify.
Facebook messages and all sorts of stuff.
Clarify, Andy.
My Von Miller stance? Didn't say I wouldn't necessarily draft him. The concern is he's not as perfect a fit. That would devalue him. But. I mean, we've seen them try to mask, You know, Ninkovich is in, Cunningham is out, Bantakane's in. We've even seen them have, theoretically, specialists in the past couple of years that weren't all that special in their special role.
And you don't want to draft one in the first round.
Right.
Or
but
high in the first
unless
round.
He's truly elite. If you can tell me that I can bring Von Miller in on every passing down, which we know is now probably more than 50% of the sure. snaps in the NFL. Patriots win a sub-defense more often than not last year. If you tell me he's only good at that, but he's really good at that, you know the old Bill Belichick, if you can only do
one
thing,
you better do it well.
Right. I'll take him. My point is, a guy like Quinn theoretically could be a three-down player, could move inside to rush, could rush on first down, do a lot of different things. He's more valuable.
Giovanni in Chandler, Arizona writes in.
Carmazzi.
An earlier email said that the players with NFL fathers are more professional. Cameron Jordan, who the emailer did not mention, also had a father in the NFL. I agree with the emailer.
Did mention him.
That was the whole basis of the email was Steve Jordan is a six-time Pro Bowler.
I agree with the emailer that the players are more knowledgeable about the game and how to hold themselves, but I agree with you guys that you got to go after
funny.
Talent. After looking at all the online mock drafts like CBS, Draft Countdown, ESPN, etc., I can't see that any of the two agree on the Patriots' first-round choices.
Not yet.
Mike Reese was on ESPN.com and mentioned the two Camerons and Kerrigan. If everything was to work out with other teams' picks, which two players would you take in the first round? And he gives it's a choice of six combinations. Quinn and Smith, Quinn and Kerrigan, Jordan and Smith, Jordan and Kerrigan, Hayward and LeSure, or Hayward and Ayers. Do you want me to read those again?
Yeah, please.
Quinn and Smith.
Quinn and Smith was the first one you said.
That's
right?
My answer.
Or Quinn and Kerrigan, or Jordan and Smith. Jordan and Kerrigan, Hayward and LeSure, or Hayward and Ayers?
Quinn and Smith, probably.
Hayward and LeSure would be the worst possible draft for me. And I stopped listening after the options stopped including Quinn. So. I told Eric, this is going to kind of be my Mendenhall this year. Except
you think?
It's not going to be as fun because it's going to end. Gonna it's
going to
end like one, two, three, right. Somewhere in there.
Sort of like if you and... Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
You're right. You shouldn't. That's inappropriate.
Well, no, it isn't. It's funny.
Eric and I
were gonna say?
Were mistaken
in
for
bed.
A gay couple. Oh. How do you not know? See, that's why you fail on this show.
No shock
you weren't
there.
Thinking along the lines. But we got mistook for a gay couple.
No shock there.
By
Champs.
Who?
The waiter at the at Champs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how do you get mistaken as a gay couple? Does he?
Well, we're not gay, and we were sitting together.
What does he do to mistake?
Yeah. Here, how do you
well,
know?
Well, be quiet and let us tell the story.
Ooh.
Christ!
Wow, Eric.
Apparently, he's the man in the relationship. Or the bitch. Yeah, you're right.
Andy ordered dessert, and I didn't. And he ordered this gigantic cookie and ice cream
express.
Thing. And the guy brought two spoons.
Yeah.
Without asking if we were going to, he just
and
brought
placed
two spoons.
It. Screw you. Perfectly in
between
the middle
us.
Of us on the corner right. of a table.
Yeah.
And said, enjoy, guys. So there was tone in his voice. He thought we were gay.
And he's walking away and he goes, we're not gay. He whispers it like that.
Hey, hold up my ring.
No, that was the next time.
Oh, yeah.
Because then he comes by later and goes, do we need separate checks, guys, or are
you
together?
Yeah, he said it just like that.
And Andy goes, no, one check. And as he's walking away, he goes, we're not together. And he holds up his hand and with his ring finger and goes,
gay
I'm
people
married.
Who get married have a ring.
Well, and he had noticed when they carded me initially.
No, yeah, they carded him for
he goes,
a beer.
My first from Massachusetts or something. So he knew
right.
we were from Massachusetts where... Men
gay
can marriages. Be
married.
I think he was putting it all together.
I think you're a little paranoid is what I think.
Thought we were gay. And then we get up, and the table behind us, two guys who were clearly gay, and I'm like, is this the gay section they put us in?
That's okay, though. The other,
right.
It's okay for him to cast
right
judgment.
Right. Yeah. Segregation.
And then, remember, that was when the lady ordered the fish. That,
oh, God, we couldn't wait
sure
to get out
of there.
Sure
it was the fish and not the lady?
Well, no, it didn't stink when the lady got there, but when her...
Fred is over the top inappropriate today.
That happened to me though. I went out with another dude on Valentine's Day, like junior year of college.
He smelled like a fish.
And they gave us like a gift certificate
for
a free appetizer.
The biggest date night of the year, Valentine's Day. You went out just with one other man.
We had this gift certificate to Texas Roadhouse that we had to use by like a certain...
on Valentine's Day.
Well, no, it was coming down to the end.
So there was never a reason to go.
So the waiter who was, I'm pretty sure, gay, gives us like this gift certificate for a free appetizer and draws a big heart on it for the next visit. And I was
that was your fault. It was Valentine's. Yeah. I was working.
Admit it. You were flattered.
The one mistake
flattered.
We
and
made
the appetizer
was
delicious.
The guy that he was with was not bad looking. I was flattered.
Because of the location of the TVs, we sat on the corners
that's
of the table.
Too. Yeah, we did. We sat
instead of
we didn't
opposite
sit right
each other.
Each
we were
other.
Sitting next to each other at a square table.
Oh, there you go. Holding hands.
That's right.
Sure.
The TVs.
The way the table was, we couldn't see the TVs.
What was on?
Sports. I don't know. Sports.
It was like Friday night.
Yeah, I don't know sports.
You should have went along. You should have went along with it and spoon fed each other the dessert. That's what you should have done.
No. Crossed arms.
Sure. No. Giovanni also says, I agree with Paul.
And then the next night we went to the same place and I was like, when you get a chance, can we get this TV changed? And she looks up and it was like the Big Ten diving championships. So there's men just on the screen with barely covering their junk.
Right.
Goes, oh, you don't like Speedos on men like that?
Oh yeah. By the way, the waitresses
lucky
changed completely from Friday to Sunday night. There were all these ridiculously young, buxom waitresses. And Friday night it was like mostly guy waiters. Yeah. So we definitely made a good choice going back on Sunday. And this one, the girl that took care of us was this girl from like 29-year-old girl from Hawaii.
Yeah, a little chatty
was like
for
telling,
my liking.
We were like her only table, so
I
she kept coming over and chatting us up.
Should have brought B-Lo with you.
She was like, made this big mistake ever leaving Hawaii and told us her whole life story. It was pretty
She ended up in Indy. I would say she did make a mistake.
Well, yeah, she's from California, lived in Hawaii, and now she's in Indy, so clearly.
No, she was from Hawaii, went to California to leave the fiance who dumped her behind.
From California.
No, she was from Hawaii.
She told you that her fiance dumped her?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and
Eric,
I was hoping.
You didn't get a phone number?
Well, that's what I was joking with Andy about. We were like, hey, she's.
We know it was a joke. Eric ending up with a woman.
She was too old for you?
No, she was 29.
Yeah.
She was
way too young.
Way too young
for him.
Let's see.
I'm getting word it's the whole mobile site, too, Freddie.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that. Giovanni also says, I agree with Paul. The NFL combine coverage stinks. Yeah, it's tough to cover guys running around cones, but it makes it interesting for crying out. But make it interesting for crying out.
Yeah, I mean the NFL Network coverage, not
right.
I didn't want you.
No, we're great.
No, I think you guys were. I told you that as soon as you walked in.
Yeah, so did Fred. And then everything I brought up that we wrote about.
I didn't
see that.
Fred,
I
read most of the stuff.
We I came up with an idea to improve the combine drills that they do there, especially for the skill position players.
No, somebody with a sniper rifle.
No. But similar to that, when they should run the 40. The skill guys, like the running backs, the wide receivers, tight ends, run the 40, normal time, right?
And then have a race.
No, then run the 40 with either the parachute or the weight around their waist like they do in training camp to try to simulate, you know, tacklers coming on top of you and dragging them along. So that
your guys would do well in that. The big-thighed guys would explosive power.
And you could see how powerful they are.
I thought
simulating game
anyway,
conditions.
Giovanni has an
Paya, by the way.
What?
That's how they're saying it, Paya, right?
I think so.
Yeah, 49.
I thought they let him bounce it a little bit.
Well, he was up and down quick, but he locked his elbow on everyone.
No,
I was
he did.
Looking at that.
But they also, he got a good little bounce. He's got a nice little barreled, Scott Pioli-like barrel chest, and he got a nice little bounce out of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've seen them not count reps or try to,
Right.
And I thought they let him get away with quite a bit.
Giovanni could just imagine the combine. Back to the NFL scouting combine. I'm your host, Fred Kirsch, along with Paul, Andy, and Eric. Say, have you seen Robert Quinn's junk? No, but Andy has. And there goes Paul to find some Diet Pepsi.
Fred has. I'm not the junk guy.
Oh, one more thing. When Lindsay Petrucci opens in on Patriots Today, doesn't it sound like she says, hello, everyone, instead of everybody? Anyway, Jets are garbage. Andy is awesome. And Ken Walter rocks.
Well, thank you. Who's this?
Giovanni.
Thank you.
So
now you notice he's not saying the listeners are dumb anymore.
No, that's a very astute, obviously well-educated listener. Knows the game of football inside and out.
Andy, a lot of people loving Andy. TG and NJ says nothing better than Andy during draft season. Is there any way we could get Kuiper or Mayock for Debate Friday with Andy?
I could probably get Kuiper.
We might have you up on the stage again this year. With
Am I going to get paid this year?
No.
The other guy. What's his name? Why can't I think of his name?
McShay.
McShay is interested. He said he had a lot of fun doing it last year.
He's going to do it again. Let's see. Owen from Belfast says
he's definitely an IMM maybe.
Did Andy not say he was off Sam Bradford after he fumbled his first snap last year in preseason? He said
a little.
Great quarterbacks don't do that. Great job in the combine though.
A little. His special meter was he got downgraded with his.
Yeah, you were off him
for that one play.
No, but
you can't fumble a snap if you're special.
Right. But now he is special and he fumbled the snap.
Oh, I didn't.
So you're wrong.
No. Special is.
So he's not special.
I don't know.
Okay.
Can
Enough.
I just say I don't know?
Enough.
Why don't you just admit that sometimes you say stupid
right.
things?
Right. Sometimes you're wrong.
But you know that's how I feel.
How I feel.
I know. I just felt like I was talking to one of your kids or something. That's how I feel.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of TFW.
We always end another hour.
You're cutting it 2 minutes short.
Yeah.
No, it's 1, 2 o'clock on my.
Doesn't matter. No one can hear us anyway. 30% of our audience is on mobile.
I got a meeting. Look, we'll be back Thursday, all right? Plenty of time to talk about this.
Maybe.
Get your questions ready for the combine. These guys have a ton of stuff. Stay tuned to thepatriots.com because half of it isn't even up yet.
And we'll see you next Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.